much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony? What is the goddamn line?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I believe I have what it takes to become America's next top model.
I mean.
This is a complete and utter waste of time.
All right, thank you very much.
It's a travesty of a mockery of a sham, of a mockery of a travesty of two mockeries of a sham.
Yeah, I'm going to organize the earthquake relief fund with my fan club, and then they're going to donate money towards Haiti and Armenia in 88 was earthquake also. So I want to do a stand-up and rock and roll show.
No, dude, look. I mean, really, right?
And now, Chicks and Midgets. Bam!
Our feature presentation.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Those two things. You got those two things, you have everything.
Exactly.
Morning, everybody. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's a brand new program for a Tuesday morning.
What the
hell? What? What's happening?
First of all, all of Psycho Mike's heroes are dying. First of all, his friend Jose Lima, former Major League Baseball pitcher, he died. What was he, 30 what?
39. Okay, well, either way, not old enough.
Not old enough. And then of course, yesterday, by now you've heard the unfortunate news about a member of Slipknot, Paul Gray, bass player for Slipknot, one of the original members. Great musician, 38 years old, dead, right?
What?
They don't know yet. Found him in a hotel room, yeah.
You're going to venture a guess?
Well, very, very common addict behavior is stuff like either suicide or ODing. When he was in a hotel in his hometown.
Yeah, I wondered about that.
That's always a bad sign. That's big time addict behavior.
I hear you.
And then one of my heroes died over the weekend. I'm very sad about this. Dick LaMotta is gone, ladies and gentlemen. But I'd like to point out,
in the
interest of professionalism, that I am still here. Kevin, Dick LaMotta turned his childhood passion for drinking cookies and milk into the Chipwich, ladies and gentlemen. The man who invented the Chipwich.
Chipwiches are good.
Two chocolate chip cookies with vanilla ice cream in the middle is the greatest idea ever. I mean, what's better than a Chipwich, right?
Yeah.
He came up with the idea in 1982. This is the beautiful thing about America. This is why America is the greatest country on God's green earth, is that he came up with this idea and he invested all of his money into buying 25,000 Chipwiches, took them out on the streets May 1st, 1982, sold them all at $1 a piece within a few hours. He said, I got something here. And when he finally sold the company 20 years later, they'd sold over 1 billion Chipwiches. But Dick LaMotta, gone at the age of 67. What? Why are you laughing? It's very sad.
Well, first of all, that's too much information on the Chipwich. Second of all,
Chipwiches are awesome, though.
They could be, but you know what I'm saying? I'm just...
Too much information.
And the other thing is, we don't have... I know we've been joking about this, but we don't have to start with the death report every day. Every single day doesn't have to be about who died.
Well, yesterday, all we talked about was Lost at this time.
Kind of a
bummer. Granted, everybody died on Lost, so maybe that was part of the theme of the death quarter. But I've been sad. I just felt like the man who contributed so much to the world, I felt like he at least needed a remembrance, at least a shout-out. That's all. I mean, look, the dude gave us the Chipwich. He deserves 60 seconds of airtime, right?
No.
It's really, I mean, it's
great. I'm
going
to go with no.
Right? But it's really just a version of an ice cream sandwich.
Yeah.
It's kind of a knockoff of the ice cream sandwich.
It's a copy.
But the fact that he incorporated a chocolate chip cookie into ice cream, no one had done that before.
I'll give him the nod, but I'm with Kevin. It's not a 60
I
second
I don't think we need
tribute.
A full tribute.
How dare
it's
you.
It's not like he invented 21 gun ice salute. Cream.
I got more on Dick if you want to hear
need,
it.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, of course you do.
Yeah.
If you want to hear about all the knockoffs that tried to bring the Chipwich down, like the chili chips.
We do
and
not.
And the chips and chips, if you want to hear about those.
What information is, man?
All right. We can move on if you want. I'm just saying, though.
But I'm just saying.
If you really wanted
still.
Us. Okay, never mind.
That's my point.
Oh.
I don't know. All right. We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. If you have anything else other than Chipwich, we would like to talk to you, and that way we can talk less about the Chipwich.
Okay.
1-800-520-1067. How was the 24 last night, now that it's aired, Kevin, and you can talk about it? Were you satisfied with the way your favorite series on TV ended?
I was. I thought it was really great. Really great.
I haven't actually watched that show in quite a few years, and I taped last night.
Oh, and you haven't seen it yet?
No.
Let me tell you something about Marilyn Rice Cup.
She's great, Chloe. Isn't she? Yep.
At the end of the series, she's sobbing, and it's so realistic.
Yeah.
You know why? That dude.
She's an actress.
The Chipwich died. That's
oh,
why.
Oh, that's what it is.
She
okay.
Got the
she
news.
Was thinking about that while she was on set, and that's man, just the tears just started coming.
Yeah.
You know.
So sometimes you use whatever you have, whatever material is on hand, to make those emotions happen. I'm glad that was able to help.
I thought it was a great ending. To 24, and I'm sorry that it had to end, but maybe the movies now will pick up where it left off.
Yeah, sounds like that's going to happen, yeah.
All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do? What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Today, it's a Billabong prize pack, including a pair of tickets to Billabong Design for Humanity, which is coming up on June 10th at Paramount Studios. Live performances include Fisher Spooner and Kid's Sister. So that's your prize for being on the air with Kevin Bean's What It Do Nephew on a Tuesday. Why don't we start with, well, how about Dewan A. Johnson from Los Angeles, California, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, Dewan.
Dewan.
What's up, Kevin Bean? Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Dewan.
What's going
how
on?
How you doing, guys?
Good. What's yeah. happening?
I just saw Shrek 4 this past weekend on a Sunday night with my best friend, Senku. It was fun with the 3D glasses and IMAX 3D at the AMC Century City 15.
Wow, you went all out with 3D and IMAX. That's the way to see a movie, right, Dewan?
Oh, yes. It was awesome.
You like the 3D?
Yeah, and about Shrek was went to a parallel universe that... Somebody don't know him.
He went to a parallel universe.
Yeah, it's like a parallel universe. When he signed that contract from Russell Skilson, he went to the parallel universe.
I see. And then
that sounds like a pretty exciting plot line.
And then he ran into Benjamin as a teacher in a school, and then he ran over Locke.
I think you're thinking of
Lost. Oh. I think Dewan is talking about the Shrek movie.
Oh, Shrek.
Movie oh. Yeah. Okay, well, that's good. Are you sad that this is the last one, Dewan? They say they're not going to make any more.
No, I wasn't sad. I was happy.
You're happy?
But at the end, he went back to his own universe.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Well, that's
oh,
good. Good.
So now he's back home.
Yeah.
All right. That's all right. Exciting.
Happy ending. All right, Dewan. Well, thank you for the movie review.
And I'm sorry for keep emailing you guys.
Yeah.
Well, you are awfully enthusiastic when it comes to hit and send.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if we get two or three, you know, message received. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I'm just saying.
All right, Dewan. Listen, have a great day, buddy. Thanks for calling.
You too.
All right, bye.
Okay. Sorry for the spoiler alert, people.
Oh, Shrek? The yeah. fact that he ended up back in his own
All
universe?
All we're doing is ruining shows for people this week.
That's true.
I think we're safe with that one.
John is on line two. Very disturbing start to the day. Hey, John, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What it do? What it do?
What it do?
Hi, Lisa Meg.
Hi.
All right, so I'm driving home from work yesterday. It's about 5 o'clock on the freeway on the 210. And I'm looking over, and we're going about 20 miles an hour, you know, kind of traffic. And I'm looking over to my right. And I see this guy, he's about 70, pretty old guy, and I see this guy just pleasuring himself.
Oh! He was driving or he was a passenger?
He was driving.
Oh!
And the thing is, I'm looking at this guy, I look to my right, and our eyes meet.
Right.
Eyes meet, and he's just looking at me, and he's still going. I'm like, I don't care.
Because you are his muse, John.
Oh, no.
Did you hear this music come in?
Oh, no.
Did he give you a thumbs up?
Yeah. You want some of this? Pull over.
So that was pretty bad. That was pretty bad.
Wow, 71.
He was pretty old.
You don't want to see that ever.
No, you get bored in slow traffic.
That's true. You got to do something to pass the time.
It's been a long time since we've done. Thank you very much for the call, John. It's been a long time since we've done the topic. Once in a while, we'll have truckers call in or people with the high, you know, the high profile vehicles who just see everything in everybody's car. Very common, apparently, that sort of behavior.
Yeah.
Both solo and in couples.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of that happening on the road. All right, do we have time real quick Jason, just with a quick shout out?
We do, because it's necessary. Hi, Jason.
Hey, what it do, people?
What it do?
What it do?
Long time Kings fans, it's hard for me to say, but let's go Flyers!
Same here, dude. Yay! I'm a long time Kings fan, too. Never liked the Flyers, but man, they have accomplished something this year that's unbelievable, and Ralph,
Flyers!
Of course, from Philly, wearing a jersey.
With his jersey.
Lindros helped bring them down, but this is on a new step. They're building back up again. It's going to complete history right
here. Lindros is ancient history, man. It's all about Gagne and Richards now, and the team is just no quitting this team.
It's very exciting.
Out to the playoffs already?
It's very exciting to see two teams that haven't been in the Stanley Cup Finals in so long playing this year. I mean, that's just – it's exciting to see new blood at the top of any sport, I think.
Yeah, it's been 13 years since the Flyers have been in the Finals.
That's not that long.
But do it. Bring it on.
Actually, but I'd rather see you win than Chicago.
The Hawks are a great team. They've got the two highest point scorers right now. But I think the Flyers are deeper. I think they have more weapons – whereas Chicago has these two main forwards who score most of the goals for him, so I'm hoping that'll make a difference.
You also have momentum like I've rarely seen in the playoffs.
It's unbelievable these guys are in the finals, considering they fired their coach in December. Pulled in Peter Laviolette, came in and brought him around. Got in the last shot of the last game of the season.
Barely made it in the playoffs, yeah.
Woo-hoo! And then came back from 3-0 against the Bruins in the semis. It's just been a Cinderella story. So
yeah.
I really hope they pull it off.
Let's do it.
So I'm with Jason. I'm a Kings fan. I wish they were there, but since they're not,
right?
Let's go Flyers.
Well, we got Ian LaPerriere, former King, on our team, who's just the ballsiest guy in hockey. He's wearing a full face helmet now because his head—he got a concussion from a puck to the head with 60 stitches in his head. He wanted to play, so he came back.
Yeah, he's a tough little bastard.
And Carter and Gagne are playing on broken feet out there, skating and scoring. It's really just hockey players are just so tough.
They are. They're
not tough, Canadian. Nope. They're not tough, nope.
That's right. That's what Dave said yesterday. Well, Canadians, they're not tough.
Yeah, well, dude that took a puck to the mouth, man.
Yeah. Oh, man.
He lost some teeth.
That Lisa can relate.
Oh, come on.
Anyway, congratulations. When does it start?
Saturday's the first game.
Saturday's the first
game. In Chicago. Two in Chicago and then two in Philly. They have home ice advantage, but hopefully you can steal one this weekend.
These are the finals. And then... then baseball.
Oh, shut up. Why do you have to ruin everything good by putting that stink all over it?
Baseball's all that's left at one point.
You should watch your mouth. Can't even say that on radio.
All right.
Dirty word.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I'm sorry. I just started hearing really loud circus music in my head. What did you say?
I said, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay. All right.
We have Sarah Silverman
coming
in today with Tig Notaro.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about their live show, Tig and Friends.
It sounds like it ought to be a Disney Saturday morning cartoon that involves Winnie the Pooh, doesn't it?
It does, yes. So we'll talk to them. We will figure out what Bob Dylan did on his 69th birthday yesterday. 69, by the way. I was thinking about that on my way in. He has to be 89 if he's a day, doesn't he? I mean, wasn't he old in the 60s?
Young for you?
69. No,
he was very young in the 60s, in fact. He's in his early 20s when he became famous.
69, it just seems like... He's a horrible looking 69.
Yeah, he does look rough for his age.
You're 69. Right,
there are a lot of people that are 69 don't look as bad as he does.
Yeah.
We're going to do something for Bean today. We're going to try and somehow make this fun, but we're going to do Ask a Mortician.
Yay! I'm sure Bean has a million questions.
Yeah, but we can't let him ask them because they're all going to be depressing. Yeah.
No, not depressing at all. It's just I'm fascinated with how that business works.
What's your record for a single day for death? How many people have died in one day? Name them. So anyway, we're going to do Ask a Mortician today.
I wonder if the guy that's coming in to do Ask a Mortician, I wonder if he took care of the Chipwich guy.
See how that's going to go?
Yeah.
You understand?
Badly.
Yeah. Adam Sussler's going to be here talking about Red Dawn Redemption.
Okay.
It's a new video game, and if you haven't heard Winnebago Man, we will introduce you to him. And I don't know if you heard yesterday, but right at the end of the show, Katy Perry kind of just showed up.
Walked in the studio.
It was a bit of a shocker.
Yeah.
So we've got some highlights for you if you missed that as well, and we've got Weenie Roast tickets for you coming up this morning, and Ralph Showbiz Beat is coming up next.
Hey, it's the Kevin and Bean Show with Muse on the way. Also, Soundgarden. We got 30 Seconds to Mars and more straight ahead. Plus, our first look at the Showbiz Beat with our friend Ralph Garman, who joins us now. What's going on?
Superior Court Judge Marshall Revelle went at Lindsay Lohan yesterday like drunk Kevin on a fat burger. Uh-oh. It was awesome. The judge, Marshall Revelle, by the way, took a day off of her own vacation to make sure she was in at work when Lindsay appeared for her.
That's a bad sign.
Court appearance for addressing her substance abuse issues.
That's a bad sign.
She slapped Lindsay with a SCRAM, which, in case you don't know, is the Secure Continuous Remote Alcohol Monitor. So she's got to wear the bracelet. She needs drug and alcohol testing every week here in the Los Angeles area and has to complete now yet another alcohol education program.
Which she didn't do last time.
Right, which she didn't finish the last one. Lindsay said, oh, no, I can't possibly wear one of those bracelets because I have a movie to shoot in Texas. And the judge said, well, that's just a shame. They're going to have to shoot you with it on or you're not going to make it. Then TMZ did a little research and said Lindsay's only contracted with two movie projects, Machete.
Right.
And Inferno, which is the Linda Lovelace biopic.
Right.
Machete got back to TMZ and said, well, we are shooting some reshoots in Texas, but none of the scenes involve Lindsay Lohan. She wouldn't need to be here in Texas. And the producers for Inferno said, we're not even going to start shooting this movie until August, which would be after the time period Lindsay would have to wear it. So Lindsay was fudging the facts a little bit, trying not to wear the old SCRAM.
And the judge double-checked and said, no thanks.
The judge didn't even double-check. Said, look, that's your problem. Whatever with your movie issues, this is what you're going to do.
Right.
So Lindsay now will be monitored via her regarding her alcohol intake and will have to subject herself to drug and alcohol testing on a weekly basis. I smell prison in her future.
I do, too. And I find this fascinating that she can't have any alcohol, right?
No. She has to be sober.
This goes beyond don't abuse illegal drugs. This means she can't have a beer with her friends if she wants to, or she ends up in jail. That's rough for someone like Lindsay.
No more mimosas at the Chateau Marmont.
Mm. Right.
No shots at Ledoux. No party until 4 o'clock in the morning like she was, photos proved at Cannes when she was getting all loaded. None of that.
I wonder if she'll even bother going out.
I wonder if she'll bother living. Someone too. She'll take all the sharp objects out of her house.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, no more lines of cocaine at strangers' hotel rooms where she's just taking fan photos.
White powder.
Oh, I'm sorry, white powder.
Yes.
So I don't know why I take such glee in this, because she's obviously got a problem. I should be more sympathetic. But I
because
feel
she's
like she's
thumbed
had,
her nose at the system for years.
Yeah,
that's
she's
why.
Had everything handed to her
yeah.
that a person would need in order to have a high quality, fulfilling life, and she has just effed it.
And we also feel like if we had all those opportunities that we did what she did, we'd be in jail a long time ago.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't feel sorry for her at all. This is less than she deserves.
Yeah. Speaking of the abuse of celebrities and drugs and alcohol, we got to get Dr. Drew on the phone.
Why?
Because I'm upset with him.
With Dr. Drew?
Yes.
Why?
Because I had an assful of him now. I'm done with him.
Wow.
Tila Tequila has just announced she will join the cast of Celebrity Rehab next season.
Oh, yes. Hey!
Really?
Oh, yes.
Do you have to take everybody? Do you have to just say yes to everybody?
Well, I don't think you can have standards if you're going to treat people for alcoholism.
Well,
I don't
get
think
her treatment. I'm not saying she shouldn't have treatment.
Just don't put her on the
just
show.
Don't put her on television.
Yeah.
Because she wants to be on television way more than she wants to be clean,
right? She
would
develop a drinking problem
Absolutely.
To be on TV.
I don't even know if she has a problem.
I'm not sure she does either.
She says, I'm finally admitting that I'm taking prescription pills every day, and that's no way to live a life. So I will be joining the cast of Celebrity Rehab next season.
Wow.
So translating that, hey, I just found out there's a TV show that I can be on once a week.
Yeah. She has invited Lindsay Lohan to join her at the rehab, to be in front of the cameras. I bet she'd love to be on television with Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, no kidding.
Absolutely, yeah.
Apparently, according to Tila Tequila, she will be on Celebrity Rehab next season. Really? I ask? Really?
I don't know if the rumors are true that they've been having trouble getting a group of celebrities together for the next edition, but I don't think they're in a position maybe to turn down anyone with name value at this time.
But this.
But really,
I know.
I know.
But this.
Well, we're going to talk to Dr. Drew on Thursday. We'll run this by him.
Well, let's straighten him out.
All right.
guy's got to have some sway, right?
Yeah, sure.
Sway is in Celebrity Rehab?
Oh, sweet Jesus. At Evangeline Lilly, of course, Star of Lost. We've been talking a lot about it this week with its series finale. She has found love on the set not once but twice. You know, she was dating Dominic Monaghan, Charlie, on that show, famously, for a long time. Now, apparently, she has fallen in love with a production assistant on the show. A PA.
God, she's hot. Dude. Playboy hot.
Can you imagine being like a guy who gets coffee and bagels in the morning and you're now dating Evangeline Lilly?
It'd be all right.
It'd be more than all right. You know who wasn't too pleased about that whole fact? When he came back to shoot the final episode?
Dominic?
Dominic Monaghan. Yeah.
Oh.
They were actually engaged, weren't they?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Apparently, he's not too pleased that his longtime girlfriend has moved on. And insiders say he even made a few catty remarks during the filming. A few shots here and there he got him in while he was there. That's why he went back to the heroin, I think, and he wouldn't play with Drive Shaft at that final concert. That's why he was drinking so hard, because, you know, Evangeline Lilly's right there.
Sure.
What do you think is going to happen to Evangeline Lilly? Because she's always been one of those who kind of fell into acting, didn't really have any passion for it, and I have not heard her set up to do anything beyond this.
She has announced, you're on vacation, but we did the story, she's already announced that she's more than likely going to retire from acting. Has no real interest in continuing.
I even noticed she wasn't on the Jimmy Kimmel reunion show afterwards, and I thought, I wonder if she's already flown back to Canada and said goodbye to Hollywood.
She was in that skit, but other than that,
one of the false endings. She said that she loves the industry, would like to maybe direct or write. That's where she's going to concentrate her energies. But
that's
no interest
for pretty girls.
No interest in being in front of the camera anymore.
I'd like for her to be in front of a camera.
Yeah,
it seems to be.
Definitely.
I would too. I'd like her to be in front of this camera. You know what I'm saying?
That's not a camera.
That isn't a camera. No.
What are you pointing at there, Ralph?
Wait a minute. I'm pointing. He's grabbing it.
You don't have a camera there.
I'm pointing to a camera.
Kind of has a lens.
Yeah,
it's a pinhole. The pinhole camera.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Ian McKellen. How good is this mother effer?
The best.
He's the best.
He's a brilliant, brilliant actor. 71 years old today. Director, Muppet, Frank Oz, 66 years old today. Actor and comedian Mike Myers with Shrek in theaters. Right now, I heard, by the way, it's a parallel universe in Shrek.
That's what I heard. But he comes back.
He's 47 years old today. Actress Anne Heche is 41. Actor Jamie Kennedy turns 40 years old today. Molly Sims, actress and model, is 37. Singer Lauryn Hill is 35. Ethan Suplee from My Name is Earl. Remember he played Randy, the brother, on that show? 34 years old today. And actor Cillian Murphy celebrates his 34th birthday as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Adam Sessler, host and editor-in-chief of X-Play on G4, talks about Red Dead different, Adam. Red Dead Redemption, also Super Mario Galaxy 2. Both of those out now. We'll talk to him in just a few minutes. Right now, though, this is a real treat for you as we introduce you to Winnebago Man.
Winnebago Man, Winnebago Man. He doesn't know his dialogue, and it makes him as mad as
This may be the most awesome guy I've ever seen in my life. I want to live with this guy.
He's
so awesome.
He is my dad. He's a guy doing a commercial for a Winnebago, and he can't get the script right no matter what happens. He can't remember the lines. He gets super frustrated. He starts over and over and over again, and he curses a lot. It's me at the Grammys.
He may not have been the best choice to record a television commercial. Is that what he's doing? Is it a TV commercial, do you think?
Maybe an infomercial. I don't know, for a Winnebago, a big motorhome.
Yeah.
But thank God for Conan O'Brien for turning me on to this video, because I must have watched it 20 times since I first saw it. And if you haven't seen it, we've got it up at kevinandbean.com. But you gotta check this out. I think we got some audio for what this dude sounds like.
The Winnebago Concepts and Engineering Departments have developed a multifunctional bathroom. Privacy, I don't even know what the f*** I'm reading. I wonder what the f*** the real dialogue is. What the f*** is this thing? All of the windshield, for f*** sake. Oh, f***. What the f*** did I say? That didn't sound for f***, did it? No, what the f***? I'm saying. Oh, f***. My favorite part. Oh, f***. Tony, do me a favor, will you please? Don't slam the f***ing door. No more. Now listen, I've got to give a clue here now. I don't want any more bullshit any time during the day.
Here's my favorite part, because he's the only one yelling.
Yeah.
This guy. Right. Right? And then he says,
from anyone, that includes me. Want anybody yelling? We get anybody yelling around here anymore today, and then the is going to hit the fan.
And they fit the needs of a very diverse fire segment. buyer segment. Why can't I remember? I wrote this stuff. Why can't I remember it?
Man, why don't I say it right? What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
You know what else I love about this guy? And there are people to whom profanity isn't funny, so they may not find this funny. But he's not swearing to be funny. He's not swearing just for the sake of swearing. He's so incredibly frustrated that he wants to just punch a wall.
He hates himself.
And pull his hair out. He hates himself so much. And you got to figure, he's filming a TV commercial. He's got, you know, people standing around, depending on him, waiting for him. Yeah. And it just, the worse he does, the worse it gets, and the harder it is for him to go on.
What is the goddamn line? I don't give a what the line is.
I got the word rear. I can't even read the BO straight.
What the was that?
We got flies all over the place.
Now there's flies out. It's an outside shoot, so there's flies. Now he's angry at the flies.
Son of a bitch. Get out of here, you flies. There's a fly over the headlight, Tony. We got flies coming for us. Out of here, you flies. We got three flies. Five flies.
Get out of here, you goddamn jackass.
He's talking to a fly.
I gotta read it again because my mind is just a piece of this morning. God, I can't make my mind work.
Oh, that's so me, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
This is my father. I want a DNA test.
I'm blinded by that hot light. Goddamn son of a bitch. What do you mean, one? I'm going to fall off the thing. Just keep running. Bullshit. I'm going to slate this.
All right, I haven't got time to mark this mother. Here we go again. We can't hear anybody. Nobody can talk to anybody. Well, turn the thing off, you dumbass. Man, I'd like to kick your head in.
Come on.
Not even funny anymore.
Son of a bitch!
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
It goes on for like 5 minutes.
I love that he, obviously he's the weak link here. He's the problem. But he can't, I mean, he says that, he owns up to it. But then he's got to start screaming it. It's the lights or it's the writing or it's the flies. He's always got to blame something. And we've all been there where we recorded something and we suck. And it's funny the first time you screw it up, and the second time, the third time, maybe the fourth time, it's still funny. Now you've got people standing around. You're at time 20.
Yeah.
And it's no longer entertaining that you're incompetent. And he is losing his mind at this point.
Son of a bitch. Jesus Christ. Son of a bitch. Jesus Christ. Oh, son of a bitch. Jesus Christ. What the hell's the line? Can't remember the goddamn line. The accoutrement that you will need. Accoutrement? What is that? I don't know. It's just all gone. I get so goddamn diuretic when I sit here. My mouth just never stops. Ain't worth it. Not this. It ain't worth it.
The mini Winnie.
Did you hear him? It isn't worth it. It's not worth it.
Part of American tradition. And today, on the cutting edge of design and function in a Class C motorhome. You believe any of that?
Wow.
He's the best.
Go to KevinBean.com and watch the whole thing unbeeped.
Woo!
Woo! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 6:37.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. By the way, Weenie Roast 1 week from Saturday. Of course, it's sold out. Thanks to you for that, to raise some money for some great local charities. If you haven't got your tickets yet, hang on. We got a chance for you to win them coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Want to talk to a guy with the loneliest, saddest wife in the world, Kevin? Our friend Adam Sessler, host and editor-in-chief of X-Play on G4, is on the phone.
Have we ever met his wife?
Adam ever met his wife? That's what I want to know.
I think he's lying.
We love Adam so much, and it's always great to have you on the show, sir. But we laugh so much when we think about how you go home from G4 and you go, honey, I'd love to spend some time with you, but I got to spend another 6 hours working on playing Super Mario Galaxy 2.
it's been really tough this year because usually that first half of the year there's only a handful of decent games, so it's kind of sporadic. And this year it's been week after week after week. So we meet every Tuesday for some biscuits and coffee.
That's nice.
Okay, yeah. Good for you. Well, I mentioned the Super Mario Galaxy 2, which of course is it out now? Just yes, in stores today, or
yes? For whatever reason, Nintendo likes to release things on Sunday.
Okay,
I have no idea why, but they did. So it is out in stores now,
and that's just for Wii, right?
Yes, it is only for the Wii, okay. And it's kind of the sequel to easily the best Mario game of the modern era, which is Super Mario Galaxy, and it takes kind of all of that and makes it more challenging, more fun, and a lot more just interesting.
They're saying the best video game ever. Is that
who? Someone's calling it the best video game ever.
Yeah, well, I mean that's
good for them for being that bold and that strong.
I was going to say, I don't know how you would pick that. that kind
yes.
of category.
It's kind of a wide array. I mean, obviously, if you have any interest in Mario, it's just perfect. And if you don't have interest in Mario, then you might be dead inside.
Okay. All right. Adam, is there anything specific to the Wii format that opens up some options for video game developers, something that you can do on the Wii that you can't do on some of the other platforms?
That's a really interesting question. I mean, obviously, you see games like Wii Sports and like kind of those party games where you're using a lot of that motion control.
Right.
But even in the Mario game, you're using the motion control in a very sparing way. You kind of, you know, shake it a little bit to get certain types of jumps, but you're not constantly trying to guide Mario around. It tends to be really challenging, especially for a long game, to hold that control in your hand for you know, an extended period of time without you getting, like, really fatigued. So
nice.
No developer has seemed to have, like, found this perfect magical way of using motion controls. I think it's still very, very challenging.
I was in a Target store over the weekend near the electronics section, and in the minute that I was there, two or three different people came in to ask the clerk for Red Dead Redemption, and the clerk practically laughed them out of the store, saying that they don't even unload them from the truck. They're actually selling them from the back of the truck out in back of the Target. They can't even get into the shelves.
Oh, my God.
What's the deal?
Well, this is a game from the makers of Grand Theft Auto, so already there's a lot of interest in it. Now, take that big kind of open-world format and very adult storytelling and put it in the Wild West. I mean, the Western has never been a successful genre for video games. This is the exception. It is one of the most amazing games I've ever played. It's just this expansive Old West from the Great Plains to, like, kind of the areas around Texas, and then all the way into Mexico, and it's a very dark adult story at the turn of the century where you play a former outlaw named John Marston who has to hunt down his old buddies because, well, someone's told him to do that. And it's really quite something.
Does it seem like a little, like it was going out on a limb, you know, because it seems like everything else is futuristic. Now
yeah,
you're going back to the Old West, and you go, well, I don't know if I want to.
Well, I mean, even for me, when I was young, Westerns weren't that popular.
Right.
It was mainly cops and robbers. And, yeah, it was very, very risky. They took their cues in terms of, like, the tone and everything from more modern Westerns, like The Wild Bunch and Clint Eastwood's Unforgiven and that Australian movie, The Proposal. So it has a much more darker and contemporary feeling than kind of the more classic stuff like High Noon.
At any point, do you say, I'm a drawn on you?
No, it does have a lot of stereotypes, so it's more like the unpleasant types rather than the big heroic people.
I got you. All
right. This is Adam Sessler on the phone with us, by the way, from G4's X Play show. We're talking about new video games out now for your enjoyment. Is Red Dead Redemption, is it based on any comic book, story, movie, other game, or is it all brand new?
It definitely has taken elements from very familiar Westerns, but no, it doesn't have one source material.
Okay.
But the minute you play it, you can recognize all these different characters. You know, there's the snake oil salesman, and there's the prostitutes, and
sure.
You know, there's the crazy cannibal.
If Grand Theft Auto is making it, there has to be prostitutes.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
They're dressed better.
Two more to run by you real fast, Adam. One is Alan Wake, also in stores now.
Yes, this is a horror game that we've been waiting, I think, 7 years for.
7 years?
Yeah, it's been a long time in development. It's a very interesting game where you play an author, like Stephen King. His name is Alan Wake. And all of a sudden, an unfinished novel of his is coming to life all around him. His wife has gone missing. And you have to sort of fight off these unpleasant creatures by shining a light on them before you can actually shoot them. It's definitely a horror game. And it does get scary at times. It's for a more specific audience, but it's quite a bit of fun.
So you're saying instead of just shooting blindly into the darkness and hitting something,
right?
You have to use a flashlight,
right?
And then you can shoot them.
Exactly.
That's BS.
That's good attention.
It does sound like there's something for everyone in stores this last couple weeks.
Yeah.
And the last one I wanted to ask you about is, and I'm so excited about this, based on the 1980 Atari game Centipede, ladies and gentlemen, have you played, Adam, Human Centipede, the video game, available online?
If someone made that, I need to talk to them and ask them to stop making things.
Yes.
I will send you the link. You got to see
okay.
Human Centipede, the video game. It's pretty fun. I got to be honest.
I made the mistake of seeing that movie, and now I can't unsee that.
Yeah. Yeah. We've talked about it quite a bit on this show. It's not a movie that you'll ever forget, is it?
No, but then there's certain surgeries I can't forget either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a good thing.
Well, you can find everything that we've talked about here on Adam's website, and of course, check him out on the X Play show on G4. And I guess we'll talk to you again probably in 2 or 3 weeks, I guess, right before the E3. You guys are doing your usual phenomenal
yes.
week of coverage from down there this year, right?
We are the official broadcaster. We are doing 25 hours of live coverage. So
a day?
Wow.
Yeah, no, not a day. Oh, good. Yeah, we added an extra hour in the day to accommodate. Yeah, so we're showing all the major press conferences, and we have so many live demos, some of which you're only going to be able to see on the show. One of them, which we're very excited about, is the first time we're going to show the public the new MMO based on Star Wars called The Old Republic. It is absolutely amazing, and people are going to learn a lot about it.
Oh, great stuff. All right, well, that begins on Monday, June 14th on G4, so we'll talk to you about that, Adam. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We always enjoy it.
No problem.
Thank you. Ralph Garman joins us every hour for the Showbiz Beat, and I'm not trying to rush or anything, Ralph, but as soon as you're done, we get right into Ask a Mortician.
Well,
so, you know, do with that what you will.
I don't want to stand between you and death.
You know I love death.
You don't want to get between a man and his true love.
Bean's going to want to get all kinds of gritty, just depressing details.
No, not at all.
My job is to try and somehow keep it light and happy.
I don't know why you would say that. I'm the most positive person in the world about death. I love death. I'm hardly the guy who's going to try to bring the room down.
Can I stop by and put some formaldehyde in one of your corpses?
We did that one time. Bean and I went to... Yes, we did. We were doing some stupid series where we did your job, and we went to...
A crematorium.
You were doing dirty jobs before Mike Rowe
was.
Pretty much.
And I had to leave immediately. And Bean was like a pig in slop. He was like, yeah, bring it on.
He was making out with the corpses, dancing with him. Last dance with Mary Jane. He's like Tom Petty in a video.
Speaking of crematoriums.
Hey, Gene Simmons is here.
All right, Gene, thank you.
All right, let's talk about somebody who's not dead yet. Lindsay Lohan. Yeah. Apparently got served at the L.A. Superior Court yesterday. She stood in front of Judge Marcia Revelle, who was the judge overseeing her case. And here's the sweet thing. Marcia was on vacation but decided it was important enough to give up a day of vacation to come back to work just to slap Lindsay around.
That's not a good sign.
She gave her a piece of her mind and also a ankle bracelet to wear called a SCRAM, which stands for Secure Continuous Remote Alcohol Monitor. This will keep track of Lindsay's booze consumption. Apparently, I did not know this, but when you drink liquor, 1% of it is emitted through the skin's pores, and this receiver picks up those molecules and records it.
Can you drink it, like any and get away with it?
No,
can you
apparently.
Have, not even a beer?
Any alcohol you drink, 1% of that alcohol will come through your skin. Yeah. So,
won't she have residual alcohol on her skin for like
She'll
a couple
be
of weeks?
Sweating booze for years.
I only knew one guy who wore one of these, and he had to stop using mouthwash and stuff. I mean,
right.
It was at that
it's
point.
Everything.
Yeah. Wow. That sensitive. She also has to submit to drug and alcohol testing on a weekly basis and has yet another alcohol education program she has to complete in order to fulfill her obligations. So,
and then what?
If this may not go well.
All of this fails.
All
jail?
This fails, off with her head.
I
don't know how it works. But she has to come back on July 6th, by the way, for a probation hearing, which is has nothing to do with this. It has to do with the fact that she was in Cannes and didn't show up for the court appearance that she was scheduled for. So that's a whole other charge.
Which can also land you in jail.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can't believe she hasn't been slapped with contempt already with how lightly she has taken these appearances. And even when she was there yesterday, Ralph, I'm sure you saw some of the video. She slouched down in her chair. Yeah. She's rolling her eyes. She's smacking her lips.
She was late, right?
She was late.
She's late.
Yeah, on top of that.
And she said, I can't wear that ankle bracelet. I have a movie to shoot in Texas.
Which wasn't true.
And the judge said, I don't care so much.
The judge didn't even care if it was true.
Really? So we'll see what happens. I am hesitant to do this story because I know how Kevin hates old things, but I think it's fascinating. You familiar with Mark Twain? Kevin, even you must know who Mark Twain is.
Sure, of course.
Legendary American author, wrote Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer, right? All that good stuff. He wrote his autobiography, spent the last decade of his life toiling over this book, but demanded that it not be published until 100 years after his death.
Why?
Why? Was he just weird that way?
So all the people involved were dead?
So all the people involved were dead.
Oh.
And also all the opinions that he had about politics and religion, he thought would not be as controversial because people would be reading it posthumously.
I hate my mom. There is no God. All this stuff. I hate my brother.
So it's time. They're going to finally start publishing Mark Twain's autobiography.
That's fantastic news, by the way.
Isn't that wild? Apparently, it is filled with all kinds of radical religious and political viewpoints. And, for instance, Twain apparently in the first... apparently, it's like a trilogy of books that they're going to be coming out. There's so much that he has written. In the first book, he says that all the Christian ministries that are trekking to Africa should stay in their own damn country and try to do something about the lynching in the South. because blacks were being strung up in trees in the South at the time.
Well, there is that.
So he's got some rather modern viewpoints from 100 years ago. So it should be an interesting read. But I couldn't believe that. I'd never heard this story before. I had
Me
no
either.
Idea that this book was being held back for 100 years, and now it's going
to
be published.
That is that's a major find from such a huge figure in literature to have something of, I mean, it's 5,000 pages long. I mean, it's a substantial work, so I'm very excited about it.
Another American treasure, Jesse James, will be interviewed tonight on Nightline. We'll finally get to see what he has to say about cheating on his wife, Sandra Bullock. ABC says that he confesses that he thinks he must have wanted to get caught.
Oh, really?
He believes he was self-sabotaging his life subconsciously.
Guilt and...
He said he's not quite sure why he did that, but he obviously has some work to do regarding getting his life together. He says he still loves Sandra. And he feels horrible for what he did.
I have heard stories of people who feel like they don't deserve the great life they have, and he's worth hundreds of millions of dollars and had a super hot and awesome wife. So yeah. Maybe he just felt like it wasn't worth it.
If he wants to feel better about himself, I think he'd just shave off that goofy beard, that Abraham Lincoln beard he's got going there, and just either grow a mustache or just shave that goofy beard.
I don't think that's his problem.
Just the goofy beard.
Could be, yeah.
It's goofy.
Yeah.
Why do you suppose he's doing this interview? He's such a private person.
I don't know.
Why does he feel the need to? Maybe it's impacted his business in somehow.
Or maybe he wants to make a public apology.
Yeah.
In hopes that it'll go some, some distance towards healing whatever rift is between him and Sandra.
But Sandra's living with a black dude now. Remember?
Her she's child. Not coming back to him. She adopted a small black child.
He's a little younger than she is, but they don't have to call him names.
Every time we talk about Sylvester Stallone deciding not to make another sequel. He's given up on the Rocky franchise and the Rambo franchise.
Right. All the good ones.
I always joke that, he's given up on those, but we're going to get another Tango and Cash. That's one of my stable of jokes regarding Sylvester Stallone movies.
That's still a joke.
Well, Sylvester Stallone has announced he believes another installment of Tango and Cash.
No. Are you kidding me?
Is no. just what the movie audiences need.
No.
He believes that it's in the works that he and Kurt Russell will return to the legendary characters they portrayed in that film.
And what were they?
They were Tango and Cash.
I know, but
detectives?
Cops? They were county hunters?
They were partners. They were cops. One was played by the rules.
Right.
Wore a suit, was sort of a button-up cop.
Sure.
The other one was a wild cop. Wore a leather jacket and smoked and played by his own rules. And they were so different, yet they were buddies and partners. But they were so different, they constantly clashed with their techniques and personal hygiene
That's
issues.
Never been done before, as far as I remember.
It is fresh.
Ralph, well, they really loved each other, but they were so tough, they couldn't admit it to each other.
That's
so
right.
So they used to play pranks, too.
And then, let's not forget that Cash started dating Tango's sister.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Which did not go over well. Because he's such a sloppy outlaw.
All right, I'm in now. I want to.
I think Terry Hatcher played his sister.
Two.
I think Terry Hatcher was Stallone's sister.
And yep. Hotter than could be.
She was
smoking hot. And Kurt Russell started to date her, and that did not sit well with the buttoned-up Tango.
I want part two.
Sylvester Stallone says audiences are hungry for an old-fashioned detective action movie, and he's just the man to deliver.
Yes, he is.
I don't know if that guy knows what he's talking about.
Stallone and Russell, apparently the storyline will be them breaking out of an old age home and then going back on the streets to arrest jaywalkers. Good times. And Psycho Mike, I know you've been sad because all your musical and sports heroes have been dying.
Yes.
So I want to give you a little something to make you feel better about yourself. You know this, the Big Four concert, Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. They are touring Europe. They will not be in the States, at least not anytime soon. However, the June 22nd concert that's going to be happening in Sofia, Bulgaria, is going to be shown in high def on 400 movie screens in 140 cities here in the U.S.
Oh, that's cool.
So you get to go to a theater near you and check out the Big Four if you're a metal fan.
Great sound.
Yeah.
That's cool.
TheBigFourLive.com is the website. It'll tell you where the theaters are. Maybe one will be near you, and you can check it out.
Mike, you remember our breakfast with Metallica, how great that was.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah.
Life-changing.
Tiny
Couldn't
little room.
Believe.
Oh, that was so great.
You were so happy to be there. Oh, wait a minute. Mike wasn't there.
Oh, wait. Where were you?
What were you doing?
I was at an engagement party.
Engagement party. Your engagement party. Yeah.
How'd that work out?
Worth it.
In retrospect.
Totally worth it.
In retrospect, that was a wise choice. Because look at all the pleasure you got from that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ian McKellen is 71 years old today. Director, actor, Muppeteer Frank Oz is 66 years old. Let's not forget, also, Yoda. Mother
sure.
effing Yoda.
Sure.
Mike Myers of Shrek fame is 47 years old today, and Anne Heche turns 41. Jamie Kennedy is 40 years old. Molly Sims, actress and model. She's the real deal right there. Did you ever watch that show Vegas? She was in Las Vegas, I guess it was called. She was good on that show and very pretty. Lauren Hill is 35 years old. Ethan Suplee from My Name is Earl is 34, as is actress Cillian Murphy. Scarecrow from the first Christian Bale Batman movie. He is 34 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I can barely contain my excitement. Who loves death more than I do? No one.
Nope.
No one loves death more than I do, except for maybe our next guest, who is Kenneth McKenzie. He is the one-time funeral director of the year of the great state of California. Ladies and gentlemen, he joins us now in studio for Ask a Mortician. How are you, Kenneth?
Hey, great. Thanks for having me.
Can I play the intro, Bean? I want to play it now and later, because it's so good.
You can't wait?
Yeah.
It's a weird job in the world. How did you get this strange position? Do you prefer burials or do you like a good cremation? It's all good in the neighborhood. We're gonna ask a mortician.
There you go, see?
Quality work from Omar. Well, Kenneth, we're going to be taking some calls from our listeners in a few minutes at 1-800-520-1067 for the burning questions about your field, the mortician field. But we have to get some basic stuff out of the way that you get asked all the time, so please bear with us because people need to know. Not an occupation that most people grow up thinking, hey, I can't wait to get into that. How'd you fall into this line of work?
Actually, I think things happen in our lives to mold us into who and what we're supposed to be. I was 12 and my father committed suicide, and I got fascinated how our family was completely put together and seemed pretty normal. And then dad committed suicide, and I just watched, and I thought it was really cool how the funeral director was able to make my mom laugh and make us laugh. She had actually known my father when they were both in high school together. And I just thought it was a cool way of helping people.
Really?
I'm just trying to lighten the mood a little.
We could have this mood for a minute.
I'm just trying to lighten the mood. I didn't know the story was going to be that grim.
It's not grim.
But look at the bright side of it. He saw an opportunity to help people the way a stranger helped his family cope through the worst time of their lives. I mean, that's the positive, right, Kenneth? I mean, that's exactly what you're describing.
Totally.
Right?
But I take it a little bit further. I've always had a unique sense of humor. I think I got that from my grandmother. And I actually use a lot of humor with my families because you're dealing with some really heavy emotion.
Yeah.
And you can just like zing them. And I've had some people on the floor literally laughing so hard. And it's just like the same release when you cry, but it just feels better when you're laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that sounds like such a delicate balance, though, when you've got a family in there that's burying grandma and you're trying to, you know, yuck it up.
Well, I got a good story. Can I share this with you real quick?
Sure.
A lady came in probably a year ago, and she walked in to the funeral home without an appointment. We call that a walk-in, meaning I don't know who she is. And she's standing in the lobby crying, and she goes, Ken, my daughter passed away, and I want you to take care of her. And so I came in and started asking questions about her daughter. And she goes, there's something very important about my daughter that you need to know. And I'm like, okay, what's that? And it was silence. She goes, I forgot. And I said, it's all right. We'll come back to it. It'll come to you at the right time. She did that whole thing a couple of times until finally we got to the area of what I do that I'm still uncomfortable. And that's talking about the money part.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, honey, that's $3,900. She goes, oh, I remembered. And I go, what? And she goes, my daughter is missing a leg. And I go, same price. And she loved that. She goes, how did you know it was okay to say that? I said, it just felt that energy that you needed to laugh. She goes, my daughter would have loved you.
You've had to try zingers, though, before where they weren't as receptive.
Well received, yeah.
Not really.
Not really?
Never.
Wow, that's a delicate balance.
Yeah, you just kind of feel each person's energy, what you can and can't get away with.
All right, let's talk about the money for a second. Kenneth McKenzie is in studio, by the way. We are going to do Ask a Mortician with your phone calls, and we'll also talk about the new book that Kenneth has put together that's fascinating, that's out in stores now, too. The money is the thing. I mean, look, you provide a phenomenal service, and we couldn't get by without you. But the money is the one thing that rubs some people the wrong way because they feel like, hey, you've got a family in at their worst possible time, and this is an opportunity for them to get taken advantage of or sold things that they don't need.
That's how I felt. My dad died last year, and I hated the mortuary, because they nickel and dime you for every single thing, and then they tell you the ranges of caskets, which are
like if you
three
really
grand
your father,
to ten grand, right? And you go, yeah, well, it's not. It's not going to make any difference in the ground. So then you try to say, well, we'll take the 3,000. They go, oh, you want the cheap one. Okay.
Oh, you didn't really love your father, did you?
Yeah, like that's no. Right. And, you know what? And by the time you get done, it is.
It's very expensive to bury someone.
Yeah. And then they go for the kill, which is, well, you know, you want the spot next to him for your mom, right? And then so you have to buy that. Yeah. And by the time you're done, it is $10,000. How do people do that?
You're actually talking about two subjects. One, a mortuary separate from a cemetery. And absolutely, there are morticians that shouldn't be morticians. There's mechanics that shouldn't be mechanics and on and on. And unfortunately, in this field, you only hear about the negative because
well, that's the only one I've
well
ever
and how
had.
Do you shop for a mortuary
people
at
do
that
it.
Time
people
you
will
have
actually
to do it
spend
before,
more time
don't you?
Shopping around for a toaster than they will about that service, and that service is something you should really take the time and find the person that you're comfortable with.
So honestly, your advice would be for people to go out while they're still healthy and make those plans ahead of time?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Because really?
Yeah, the family will overspend when the death occurs because of emotion. And honestly, you may not believe this, but I'm not a very good salesperson for myself. I let it happen on its own. A lot of people will come in and start picking out really expensive stuff. And when that happens, typically I'm thinking there's probably some guilt here. They feel like they have to. And I will stop people and say, what would your dad tell you to do if he was standing here? And they'll be take the cheap one. I said, then get the cheap one. Because honestly, then they know I'm real, and they leave, and they brag to other people. And it's just
it's better
what you
for
should
you
do.
Guys in the long run.
Kenneth, is there – I mean, I agree with Kevin. Once it's in the ground, it doesn't matter. Is there a cardboard option? I mean, is there something that's super – I mean,
no.
The cheap option – what I'm saying is the cheap option shouldn't be $3,000. To me, the cheap option should be $300. Is there anything like that at most mortuaries?
Not at most mortuaries. There should be, and if it's not displayed, you can ask for it, and you should ask for it. I believe that I want my body to go back to the natural element, so I don't want anything fancy.
I have a question about this. This is a weird question, but I just saw something the other day about biodegradable coffins.
Yeah.
And my question was, if someone is embalmed – is that going to be a problem at some point with embalming fluid going back into the ground in a cemetery?
No, there's now from different types of preservatives that don't have formaldehyde in it. It's more natural. But you do not have to be embalmed when you pass away.
But then you have to be buried really fast, right?
No, you're just refrigerated. So I've had people that I've held for a month or two for religious reasons, and they were not embalmed.
Oh, okay.
Now, they're not viewable at that point, but that's, a natural progression.
They still don't know where James Brown is.
he's still
making a travel.
One quick question before the break, and if you have a question of your own to ask a mortician, call Kenneth McKenzie right now at 1-800-520-1067. Increasingly, it seems like cremation has become more and more popular every single year. What's the ratio like these days, Kenneth?
Well, I can share with you that if I do 110 cases, we call them a case, if I did 110, I would say 70% of them are cremation.
Is that right?
Cremation would that have been an easier number if you just started with 100 instead of 110? We could have really figured that out.
Because 70% of 110 is a little more difficult.
Now I'm trying to think, or is it 75, 71? 77? What are we doing here? So over half, easily over half are cremations now. And is that cheaper? Is that why people do it?
I think one cost. One, we are in Southern California, so we're close to the ocean, and a lot of people want to be buried at sea.
Yeah. You don't have to buy a plot.
Exactly.
Which is hugely expensive.
There is a misconception. Just because you're cremated doesn't mean you can't have a funeral. I have funerals still where the body's present in a casket. It's a rental casket. I know. I don't. Here we go.
Yeah.
Lot of people use a rental casket instead of purchasing it. And it has like an insert that the body's in and lays in the casket. So if you were at the viewing, it looks like the person's in the casket. In reality, they're in a fiberboard box that has bedding. And that's what's pulled out. Or slid out, and that's what's cremated with the person. A cremation will be required, probably not in our lifetime, but it will, because where are we going to put everybody?
Yeah,
they're going to run out of cemetery space. Absolutely. Right. All right, 1-800-520-1067. By the way, the book is called Mortuary Confidential, Undertakers Spill the Dirt, and we'll talk about that and take your calls with our guest Kenneth McKenzie right after this on the Kevin and Bean.
It's a weird job in the world. How did you get this strange position? Do you prefer burials or do you like a good cremation? It's all good in the neighborhood. We're going to ask a mortician.
It's all good in the neighborhood, Bean.
It is all good in the neighborhood. Thank you, Omar. Our guest in studio is Mr. Kenneth McKenzie. He is the author of Mortuary Confidential, Undertakers Spill the Dirt. So many great stories in there that we won't have time to talk about on the air, but you should definitely pick up the book, available online or in stores right now. We are taking your calls for Kenneth at 1-800-520-1067. If you've always had a question for a mortician, now's your chance.
Let's start with Glenna, who has a question that I think was answered in Chapter 1 of your book, which scared the hell out of me. Hi, Glenna.
Hi, good morning. I'm just wondering, I know a lot of times the body will twitch or convulse after it's passed on, so I'm just wondering what the scariest and or creepiest thing that's ever happened to you working in a mortuary would be.
Actually, well, I'll digress a little bit. The scariest thing is actually dealing with the living, not the dead. The living are the ones that can really hurt you. But the body, in all the years that I practiced, only one time was there any movement. And honestly, it was a friend of mine that was about to pass away. His instructions to me when, Ken, when I pass away, pick me up immediately and embalm me. Well, this man had had polio as a child, so his lower extremities, he had no muscle tone, but he had a large upper body. When I started the embalming, which is simply making a small incision on the clavicle and putting a small tube into the artery, that it introduces water and formaldehyde into the cardiovascular system. And when I started doing this, I was doing something else, and I looked away, and I looked back at him, and his whole chest and torso and upper extremities were wriggling. And it's the only time that I really got scared and had to, like, took four steps back, hit the wall, and just went, why is this? And I figured out why it was happening, but it jolts you.
Well, what about the scream? What was that story about?
Oh, the scream.
I mean, come on.
The scream. These are true. You cannot make these stories up. But there was a woman, her father, I believe, passed away. And we were filling out some paperwork. And she goes, go ahead and sit on the bed. Well, the bed that was there is where the deceased was. I had no problem. So I sat down next to him. And you hear this rap. I went, what the hell? I sat on the cat that was underneath the covers.
Let's try JP, line 8. One of the reasons we do the Ask series here on the Kevin and Bean Show is because there are people out there who may think, hey, this is a line of work for me, and I think JP's got a question in that direction. Hi, you're on with Kenneth. Ask a mortician.
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I'm a high school teacher, and I have a student that's about to graduate, and she was asking me what kind of like college degree should she get, or should she not go to college? What should she do to become a mortician? And I had absolutely no idea what to tell her.
What you should tell her and what I did is that this is one field that you can actually work in the field before you go to school, and that's what I totally recommend. She can go to a funeral home. I would even, if she wants to call, I'll talk to her, because it's very difficult to get into this field when you're young. And it's sometimes if you just volunteer, you can work in the funeral home. You would see it, feel it, smell it, be part of it. And, that,
and then not take the job?
Yeah.
Then you know.
Then you know, right.
You'll know
not
right
for everybody.
Away.
Yeah,
and then if she wanted to do it,
then continue with school.
And what kind of schooling?
The only school in Southern California is Cypress Mortuary Science. That's where I went. And then there's a two-year apprenticeship. So it's not a lot, a great deal of schooling. But again, this is a field that you're either supposed to do it or not. It's not a job that you're just doing to get paid. Because
it's kind of recession-proof, too, though, Kenneth. And that's one good thing about your occupation, right? I mean,
absolutely.
People are always going to die, and they're always going to need a mortuary.
They always will. It's funny, though. We have seasons, believe it or not. Our busy season is in the holidays, weather changing. Summertime seems to be pretty quiet.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. Maybe it's the stress of family gatherings.
Well, it's always quiet, but, you know.
Sure. What's the range of pay for a mortician? And I know that varies wildly city to city, state to state, but give us an idea.
I have no idea how to answer that. California doesn't pay well. In my eyes, because one, there's so many people. The more people, the more funeral homes, the more funeral homes, the more competition. Smaller funeral homes pay better. But, you know, this is a field that you're like born into it and you're in the family and it's passed to you.
Mm.
It doesn't really pay a lot for like a person that wants a job from 9 to 5.
Yeah.
It's okay.
You work whenever, right? I mean, you probably work some pretty crazy hours.
When I started my practice, absolutely, it was 24/7, and it happens when it happens. It can be at 4 o'clock in the morning. It just you drop everything.
So here's a question I'm asking for people like Kevin, who are really just creeped out by dead bodies. You get to a point, if you're the right kind of person, where it just doesn't it doesn't bother you. It's just doing business, right?
My mom had the best foresight, telling her 12-year-old son when my dad died that I go, "What's Dad going to look like?" And she goes, "Honey, what you're going to see is the shell that he lived in. That's all we're going to see. The spirit and energy that made your dad is already gone." And that really made sense to me. And I still to this day have to tell people, you guys, it's not the dead. They just need your protection and they need your care. The living are the ones you need to be scared of, honestly.
It sounds like you've had some run-ins with the living.
Oh, many.
Well, let's take hang on. Let's take Jose. He's got a good question on along that line. Jose, hi.
Hey, good morning, guys. My question is, I know there's a lot of emotion there at the funeral, and a lot of family goes maybe don't like each other. Has there ever been any fights?
Oh my God!
Fights break out at a funeral,
or is that rare when they don't?
That's rare when they don't. You think about it. Let's say that mom had six kids, and you know what? It's even in my own family. You don't get along with all your siblings, and then the death occurs, and you have to come together and work together and emotionally go through things together, make decisions. Oh, there's fights all the time.
Really?
I used to be the one that would try to get everyone to sit together in the limo and put everything aside for one day for mom, but I got to a point where
videotape it?
Funeral's gone wild. That's my new book.
Dean would buy that in a second.
Are you kidding me? All right, listen, we are out of time. We have to leave it there. But this book I can't recommend more highly if you're interested in the funny side of the mortuary business. And I know that sounds unlikely, but there really is a lot of great stories about things that have happened throughout the career of Kenneth McKenzie and other morticians from around the country. Mortuary Confidential, Undertaker's Spill the Dirt is available everywhere. And Kenneth, if people want to contact you in Long Beach at your funeral home, you are mckenziemortuary.com. Is that right?
Exactly. And I did bring a book for your callers if you guys want to raffle that off or do whatever you want.
Fantastic. Right. Thanks for coming.
Thanks so much for stopping by. We enjoyed it. Speaking of great musicians, Kevin, Bob Dylan celebrating a birthday yesterday. He was 69. He's one of our favorites here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We thought we'd check in with the great one and see what he's up to and how his birthday went. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Kennedy. What's up? I'm going to say.
And to you as well, I guess.
A
lot of death talk. Yeah.
We did have a mortician in on the show. Thank you for listening, Bob.
No, it's not good.
You didn't enjoy that? Well,
not
at your age.
69, no.
Yeah, you're pretty near.
Yeah. I know, it's my shell. Apart.
You are mostly just shell at this point. Yeah, you're right.
Not good.
So, Bob, we're always curious.
Right,
sorry. We weren't trying to do that. We just thought it was interesting.
And listen to Big Boy.
I can see you getting down with the hip hop. Sure.
Yeah.
What's your favorite song that Big Boy plays over there, Bob?
Oh, it's got to be the Let's Go
Santa Home. I'm sorry, the what? I haven't heard that one.
Yeah,
I guess.
Good.
Bob, a guy like you who's got lots of famous friends and all the money in the world, how do you celebrate when a birthday comes along like yesterday did for you? Is it a big blowout or are you a little more low-key?
Oh, party hardy, Marty.
Party hardy, Marty?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, kicked it off and just, happy birthday to me. This is my birthday.
Oh.
Beatles?
It's like it's like on your radio show when you play little songs in a theme, right?
Yeah, Happy Time Lemonade Hour.
Right, right. That's what it's called. Exactly.
Yeah. And let's get a party and get some sunny.
Bob, you don't sing. You don't sing at your party, do you?
Yeah,
that's a mistake.
I was singing last night at the party.
You were, okay.
I sang this one. You got a life.
Sure.
Can't picture that at all.
Yeah. Me.
You.
Boys.
Boys, right.
Beastie Boys.
And then I was singing this song last night.
Miley Cyrus?
I don't know why you would be listening to a Miley Cyrus record, Bob. That doesn't make any sense.
She makes my pants tight.
Oh no, that's wrong and inappropriate.
All right, yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay, we gotta go.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, bringing the funny next hour. Oh, not us. Not us. We're not starting that. But Sarah Silverman will be here with comedian Tig Notaro. Both of them joining us in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Looking forward to that right Tig. Now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat. I know Tig, right?
Tig. Remember when Winnie the Pooh met him and then he was trying to get the honey out?
That's different.
No, no, no. Bouncing around on his tail.
She is so very funny. No, no. Her very name different. Is Tig. She's a very popular comedian. I think you'll enjoy her a lot coming up, Ralph.
Oh. Damn, I thought Tigger was coming.
No,
by.
Not Tig.
Awesome. No. Last hour, we were talking about Evangeline Lilly of Lost. Now, she's got a new boyfriend who's a production assistant on the show. And,
right.
We were speculating about her career. She has announced that never really had a passion for acting, was considering retiring from acting when Lost was all said and done. And we were wondering what was going to happen with her career. Well, news just today breaks about the next step in her career. She has been signed to co-star in a new feature film, co-starring Hugh Jackman.
I wondered about that. If they were going to go, hey, how about doing a movie for
$1.5 billion?
Okay.
I have a little more passion now for acting than I did 5 minutes ago.
I mean, what else is she going to do? I mean, she could model, I guess. But.
Real Steel is the name of the film.
No, I hope they'll change that before it comes out.
Why?
Real Steel?
Real Steel.
Sounds like a bad movie on Comedy Central.
It's real, as in this is real.
Right.
And then Steel, S-T-E-E-L, as in metal.
Okay. All right.
That's less interesting than I was thinking, Steel as in theft.
No, it's about a former boxer played by Hugh Jackman who teams up with his long-lost son to train a robot for a championship boxing fight. Evangeline Lilly portrays a friend of Jackman's. Yeah, a friend. With benefits.
I'm sure.
Sean Levy will be directing, so it's supposed to be good. Spielberg is producing. Based on a short story, based on a time in the future when men stop battling in the rings and robots take over.
All right.
But I believe the final part of the story is a human takes on the robot in the ring. So.
And then Battlestar Galactica happens.
Then Cylons show up right. And all kinds of BS goes down.
Do you have a Sharktopus non-compete, or are you allowed to be in the robot movie, too?
I think I can go out there.
Okay.
Speaking of Sharktopus, I haven't really thanked publicly everyone who was signed on to the Ralph Garman Deserves a Role in Sci-Fi Movie Sharktopus Facebook page.
Right.
And I wanted to thank all those people. There were a couple thousand people signed up to that page, and I like to think they had played a large role in me getting my starring role in Sharktopus.
Starring?
Oh, yeah.
Did you say starring?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Sure. As far as you know. Until it comes out, I can say that all I like.
Oh, I was on the cutting room floor.
What? Shut up!
Again.
And, of course, legendarily, Betty White got to host Saturday Night Live thanks to a Facebook page.
Sure.
Well, now, apparently, there's another Facebook page, and this is not my doing.
Ralph Garman for Saturday Night Live?
I'm embarrassed to say this is not my work, but there's a new page on Facebook I just got the notice of. Adam West to host Saturday Night Live.
Oh, that'd be good.
How great would that be?
It would be great.
So if you're a Facebook member, you can go over to Adam West to host Saturday Night Live and sign up. I did.
Is this how all decisions are going to get made now?
I hope so.
It's really better bizarre than what they're doing.
The people will speak, Kevin. Their voices will be heard.
All right.
Congratulations to actress Monica Bellucci.
Oh, my God. Ooh,
she needs to host Saturday Night Live.
She gave birth to her second child, Leone, last Friday in Roma. She and her actor husband, Vincent Cassell, have a 5.5-year-old daughter named Diva. And now they've got another daughter named Leone.
Her daughter's name is Diva. That's going to go well.
Yeah.
It's D-E-V-A, though.
Oh, okay. Well...
So it's
maybe
not,
it'll be easy. All right, then.
It's not Diva like a bitch. It's Diva like Devo with an A.
Sort of.
Right. Yeah. Her next film will be Sorcerer's Apprentice, by the way, with Nicolas Cage. I haven't seen the trailer for that or not, but it looks very entertaining.
I haven't seen that.
More of a sorcerer protector. I think he says that. So. I'm going to check that out. Fox says its new hit show, Glee, has already been renewed for a third season, and the second season isn't even over yet. It's one of the few hits over there in Fox, and they are absolutely thrilled to renew it for a third year.
Oh.
Keep in mind, tonight's the Lady Gaga episode.
Woohoo.
Oh.
Can't wait for the Glee cap tomorrow with Omar.
Yeah, he loves
the
show.
Oh, that's right.
If you went to the show, you saw some of that, actually.
Oh.
That's a great story. I hope you got more.
You're talking about the live Glee show, Lisa?
Uh-huh.
I did not attend, but
I
know
we were
several
still
other 12-year-olds who did, so.
I thought we were still in the first season of Glee. Okay. Isn't this still the first season, and they've already renewed it for a third?
Yes. I believe that's right.
That's unbelievable.
Yes. Yeah.
Second season was greenlit early on, and now they've renewed it for a third season. So we're guaranteed at least two more years of Glee.
Crazy.
Yeah. And, a lot of controversy over there on Fox News. Uh-oh. People are upset with them.
Now what?
Turns out that President Barack Obama gave a speech in front of the cadets at West Point recently.
Right.
Here's the thing. Fox aired footage from that speech, and yet, through some magical audio editing, pulled out all the applause from the cadets were giving Barack Obama.
So it sounded like they were
sitting on their hands.
Really?
It sounded like
they
were not applauding President Obama in the least.
That's some good work.
They got busted when people started comparing the YouTube posting of the original video and some posting for some other news sources up against the Fox News audio, and it is obvious that they have removed the audio of the cadets applauding the president.
Wow.
So now people
people
are upset with Fox News for their behavior.
Only certain people.
That's true. Only certain people are upset. I thought that was interesting.
That's really
And C-SPAN's like, yo, what about us? We've showed the real thing and nobody watches our network.
Are we in kindergarten?
But what makes a network think they can get away with that these days?
Because they can.
Because they have people who watch them that love them. And
they're the 600-pound gorilla.
Exactly. Yeah.
Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actor Cillian Murphy is 34 years old today, as is My Name is Earl's brother, Randy. Ethan Suplee is 34 years old today. Did you ever see a movie called Blow with Johnny Depp?
Oh, yeah.
Cocaine kingpin.
Yep.
Ethan Suplee's in that and plays his buddy who kind of starts the drug cartel with him. And he weighs about 950 pounds in the movie.
Oh, really?
Really?
You think he's big on My Name is Earl. He's big!
Wow.
In Blow. Lauryn Hill is 35 years old today. Actress model Molly Sims is 37 years old. Jamie Kennedy celebrates his 40th birthday. And Haish is 41. Mike Myers, currently enjoying the success of the fourth Shrek movie, is 47 years old today. Director, actor, writer, Muppeteer Frank Oz is 66 years old. He, of course, is the voice of Miss Piggy and Fozzie Bear and Yoda. Storied career. And Ian McKellen, one of my favorite actors. He is, I guess he's Sir Ian McKellen now. He's 71 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, that band playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast, and Kate Ginther just won tickets to the Weenie Roast.
Doesn't sound like a real last name, by the way, Ginther. I'm suspect of that.
Your tickets are coming up on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 10 minutes after 8.
After the hilarious segment with the Ask a Mortician last hour, I'm looking forward to livelying things up with hilarious comedian Tig Notaro joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show and noted best-selling author currently on the New York Times bestseller list this week, ladies and gentlemen, Sarah Silverman. Both ladies in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
How about
I can't believe she's here. She's way too big for this show at this point. First of all, Tig.
Wait, I just heard myself. There you go. Sorry. Hi.
You know,
Hi,
you've been
Sarah.
Here before, right?
Oh, the sound of my voice is so grating. And to me, in the morning, it's a little too much.
Mike, make sure she's talking right in.
You said it, sister. All right, let's get this thing worked out.
Hey.
All right,
there we go.
Tig, can you hear us and can we hear you?
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay, so you're here. That's how it's done. All right, fantastic.
That's and, my we've been married for 40 years voice.
Yeah.
You can be like right around the corner from somebody and be like, yeah.
All right, well, we have a lot of ground to cover, a lot of things to catch up with you ladies about. First of all, you are lovers, and I think it's great. Second of all, what brings you in here together today? What's up with that?
Well, first of all, thank you on that.
And they go everywhere
Second
together.
Thanks for outing them.
And secondly, we are here because Tig is doing a show called Tig and Friends that I'm producing.
Sarah's the executive producer.
Yeah, but I mean, what does that really?
What
I
does
don't
that
know.
Mean? Yeah.
It means I make some calls, send some emails out, make sure everything's together for the thing.
Now you're the man.
And then if anything good happens.
Now you're the CEO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're ruling now.
You're right, my boss. It's just like when somebody's like, some little starlet is like, and I'm the producer.
Right. It's like that. Sure.
Except I'm not a starlet.
But Sarah, I have to say, she gets on the horn and she gets stuff done.
Does she? She gets on the horn?
Mm-hmm.
I do.
If she didn't get on the horn, where would Tig and Friends be?
Same place. Same thing going on.
Same place, same time, same cast.
So no difference?
No, no. No.
Would we be on Kevin and Bean right now?
No, you're right, you're right.
Well, no, I got this booking.
That's true. All right, for folks who haven't seen Tig and Friends at the Largo on La Cienega, this is not the first time you've done it, but this is going to be the best time, I hear, coming up on Tuesday, June 1st.
Oh, I thought you said, but this is going to be the last time you'll do it.
No,
we don't
know. It's so funny. I don't even know how to describe it because it sounds pretty basic, but
it's not basic.
No?
No way.
All right,
well, you describe it then, Tig.
All right, let's not.
What do you think it's all about, Tig? No, I want to hear Sarah describe it first, and if she messes up, I swear.
We'll each take a turn. How much time do we have?
About a minute. Go.
Tig and Friends is Tig will interview the cast of a show, but before that, she'll bring each one out, and they'll do a little talent, you know, a little hidden talent, and we just did it with Parks and Rec, and it was very funny. And then she interviews them as a cast, but her questions are
ridiculous,
really, really ridiculous, and almost unanswerable.
Right.
Awkward. And then she awkward, goes into good. The crowd, and there's a Q&A, which is like an earnest Q&A. But Tig is
I Phil Donahue the place. I go out there, and I am very interactive.
Kids are going to totally get that.
That Phil Donahue reference?
No, that's a great reference because he's been off the air for 20 years now.
Okay, so, I basically am like an old man that goes out into the audience and interacts with the audience.
With the audience.
Taking questions.
Okay. With a liberal slant, and she's married to Marlo Thomas.
Well, that is true. So it's an interactive comedy experience. Huge fun, especially this Tuesday. If you are a fan of Party Down, and I know a lot of people love that cable show because you've got Adam Scott, Megan Mullally, Martin Starr from Party Down. They're going to be your victims up on stage.
And Ryan Hansen.
Ryan Hansen will be there too.
That's correct.
So they come out and they do wacky stuff with you, then you do wacky stuff with the whole group, and then the audience gets a chance to jump in and do wacky stuff on their own with these people.
That's correct.
Wow.
And then I do some wacky stand-up.
And by the way, it's...
He said that a lot better than you did, Sarah. Just throw in wacky.
It's not
a
competition. Right. Oh, yeah, you're right. So anyway, it's really wacky. And it sounds like it could meander, but it's a tight show, you know?
I doubt that.
It's like an hour, and it's... It's super fun.
Yeah, it's monthly, sometimes every other month.
Depending on the executive producer and
right.
how many times she gets on the horn.
Where she's getting off to in her helicopter. Yeah.
What? How do you get a show to participate in this? Is that you or how do you?
Well, I mean, for Party Down, I mean, I'm usually friends with somebody or Sarah has reached out as the executive producer.
Sure.
She's reached out to other shows. And
she gets on the blower?
That's right. And
blower.
For Party Down, Megan Mullally is a friend of mine, and
Adam Scott's a friend of mine.
And it's not a competition.
Nice callback.
Thank you.
Let me just say this though, there aren't a lot of let me rephrase that.
Taking
there aren't
friends.
A lot of reasons I can think of to want to live in Southern California. But if you love comedy, it's the best city in the world for that because stuff like this happens all the time with one of a kind get-togethers that you're not going to be able to see anywhere else and it's not going to be on TV. And so often, you know, you people get together and it's just hilarious stuff. And it's a great opportunity for people to come down to a small room and see a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see all you people together. I
so
support it.
Back?
That's what I'm telling you. No, I'm
Yay,
not doing that.
Yeah, he's coming
but
back.
But I am saying, no, I am saying it is the type of thing that you have a real it's a great entertainment option for people who are listening to us in Los Angeles. That's all. Don't miss it.
If this show was going on in Denver, people's minds would explode.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, I know it is true. And especially at Largo, like they always have like crazy, cool, weird stuff involving, you know, people you don't get to see live usually.
Yeah, and it's in the big theater room, which is 280 seats, and it's beautiful. Absolutely.
Tig and Friends is this Tuesday, June 1st, or is that this coming Tuesday, or is it a week from? I don't have my calendar.
No, what's today?
Today's
a week. Tuesday, yeah,
it's a week from
So that means it's a week from today, then. A week from today.
See you next Tuesday.
And we're going to be coming in here every day.
It's at the Largo, La Cienega Boulevard. Call 310-855-0350 to get tickets right now. We'll take a break. More with our friends Tig and Sarah after this on the Kevin. Comedian Tig Notaro in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian Sarah Silverman also with her. You can see them both at Tig and Friends a week from tonight at Largo, La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles. It's going to be a great live show. By the way, Tig just mentioned during the song that she doesn't have the Twitter. Is that possible?
It is possible.
How are you in show business and you don't have the Twitter?
I don't know. Yeah. Is it not possible?
No, you're good.
It's not possible.
No, you're not.
Somehow I've been.
Don't worry about it. You're good.
Show business didn't exist before Twitter.
I am on Twitter. Have you guys? Are you guys on it?
I didn't know
it?
You were.
Yes.
Louis C.K. Has been so funny the past few days, and he usually never writes anything.
Oh, I don't follow him. I have to check. All I know is that last night, Sarah, you threatened to murder your dog if more people didn't buy your book. And that was too vague for me to be comfortable with, because how many copies do you have to sell after a tweet like that before Fido gets it?
No, I don't. You know what? I just, like, I never, I hate doing that, but, like, the book company will be like, it'd be probably helpful if you tweeted something, you know, and then, so then I'm just like, I just write something, you know, but.
So you aren't really going to kill your dog, that's what you're saying.
I probably will eventually in the next 2 to 3 weeks, but that's just because he's, you know, angling towards 16 and.
He's had a good life.
Yeah, I feel like he's had a good run. I just think it should just end, you know, like The Sopranos.
Brutally.
It's brutally dark. On your schedule, not on his. We haven't actually talked to Sarah since her book came out. I mentioned when you sat down that you are in the top 10. I think you're like number 6 or something like that in the New York Times bestseller. Yes.
I was
you
number
knew
7,
that.
But I was number
maybe
7.
It's 7.
I think it's true. I think it's dropped down to like 14.
Well, the last time I saw you were number 7, and I was very impressed with that because I know you, and I don't know any people who can do that. But Bedwetter, Stories of Courage, Redemption, and Pee is the book. I saw a lot of your promo tour for that. Did you ever make it on Oprah like you hoped?
No. I don't think she'd have me on, but
because
I
know
just
that was the goal.
Her.
She would never have you.
You did? You just met her?
Yes.
Where?
I sat next to her at a restaurant.
No.
Her and Gail.
I'm so fat.
And
she ate a lot. Yeah.
I it was like a dream. I'm just. I need to because it's early.
Did you?
It definitely wasn't a dream. It was like 2 days ago. And
Am I your Gail?
You are my Gail.
Yes. That's so beautiful.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Did you say anything to Oprah?
Our eyes met.
Right.
First of all, Gail came over and sat. Okay, I'm going to be totally honest.
All right.
Yeah, please tell us, because this is you don't hear very many Oprah sightings. This is fascinating to me.
I was with two other comics, Mark Cohen and Henry Phillips.
Okay.
They came over. I had nothing going on that day. They came over. We smoked a little hooch.
Sure,
right.
Hooch?
I don't think you smoked hooch.
Is that liquid?
Yeah.
Smoked pot.
That's what a hobo drinks. Yeah. Hobo drinks hooch.
So you smoked some alcohol.
I took a puff of pot, which I never do in the day.
Right, ever.
But as a treat, it's been a long time. I had the whole day free. I go, yeah, all right. Then I go, let's go to this fancy restaurant for lunch. But we look like homeless people.
What restaurant?
It's called, like, the Soho House.
Oh, yeah.
It's right
by
me. Yeah, right? So we go there. The guy sits us right next to Oprah and Gail.
Okay, so they're already in the restaurant when you guys walk in.
Yeah, and we're like, oh, my God. And the guy who sat
Are they holding hands?
No, they're with Sidney Poitier.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Kind of a
Wait,
bizarre...
that's the biggest
I wasn't,
reaction. That...
I know. I wasn't
they didn't react that much about Oprah.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to be honest. I only didn't mention
so
it
weird.
Because I was, like, embarrassed to say...
Poitier. Yeah, because it's Poitier. A difficult word to do just right.
Yeah,
I understand.
You feel corny, like,
sure,
I don't know, but...
But it adds
to
the, it must have been a dream.
Way. That's his name.
It
right.
must have been a dream. I mean, it's starting
like
to sound weird.
It was like seeing...
And a Viking.
I mean, really, Oprah is our... Yeah,
and they had a lizard on a leash. It was weird.
Oprah is our Sarah Silverman.
No, Oprah's like the Queen of England. I mean, she's like the Queen of here. You know what I mean? It felt
she's
so
sort of
like,
royalty.
No, she is.
She's the closest thing we have to royalty.
Even
absolutely.
To
she's the
Cohen?
Biggest. She's the biggest celebrity in America. Okay, so you sit next to her. Now, does she have any idea? Does she look over and recognize you, Sarah? She must, right?
What happened first was Gail came over for a couple minutes and said hi. And she was really cool and seemed like an everyday gal.
Right.
Was Oprah not there yet?
No, she was
there.
She was eating.
And she walked back and then... Oprah turned around and our eyes met and she got up and started walking towards me and then I got up and met her halfway because I felt like and then she just
was it in slow motion?
There were no words. She just embraced me.
Oh my.
She hugged me.
Really?
And like it felt so good in her arms, like her like this side.
She was giving
shape,
you life.
Her like giant bosoms like smushed against me. It was so maternal. Like I felt like Mother Nature was holding me. And I
did
just,
you get
like,
lost in her folds?
And really, I let go. I just kind of was like dangling in her arms like a baby, like a baby in like one of those baby Bjorns. And she went, Sarah Silverman! I swear to God. And it was like on Saturday Night Live or something, and I go, I just didn't say anything. And then she let go, and I walked back to my chair, and I said, I'll be over here if you need me. But she didn't.
So you didn't mention, like, I'd like to come on the show sometime.
I have a book out.
Wait,
so
she just,
that would be so cool.
She just sang your name in the restaurant, and then you just
that's how
turned
she says
around
all
and
names.
Walked away?
Yeah. You know what?
She gave you enough
you guys,
life force. It was a dream, wasn't it?
No, it was real. It was real. It really was real.
So you touched the hem of her garment, and then you went back and just sat down and just thought about it for the whole rest of the day.
Well, and then, like, Cohen and Henry and I just looked at each other like, oh, my God, I'm so high.
We spoke too much.
Oh, my God.
By the way,
not...
I think eventually we're going to find out this whole thing was just
she
was
sure
high.
Are you sure it wasn't just a fat black woman?
What?
I'm just saying,
oh
are you
God.
Sure? Because you were...
Yeah, I am sure. Yeah. I am sure.
It was really Oprah. How about that?
Yeah, okay. It was really exciting.
Well, that's the best story I've heard all day. That's awesome. I love that.
Whoa. Have you ever heard the Three Bears?
That's a good story, too. I'm not going to take anything away from that.
Okay.
But we didn't hear it today.
All right.
Right. So,
I
mean,
Tig and I were doing laundry at the washing machine. It's called the washing machine. We used to do laundry, together, mm-hmm. and I was putting...
My laundry.
Yeah, well, we were doing Tig's laundry. I was putting her stuff into the dryer, and it honestly... I looked at it. It was like the laundry of a tiny lumberjack. It was so cute.
If she didn't know she was there with me, she would have thought that there was a little tiny
a
lumberjack.
Tiny lumberjack. That's how you dress?
Yeah. Well, I guess. Yeah. I mean, pretty casual, I
Why
suppose.
Does it take two of you to do one of your laundry?
Because I'm her Gail.
Do you think Oprah and Gail do laundry together?
I'm certain that Gail does her laundry at a laundromat.
At least in some sort of euphemistic
well,
way.
Well, and I have to say, I have a washing machine at my house now. Well, things have really changed.
Wow.
And yeah. I don't. Mine's in the hall.
Ooh.
Sarah's
yeah.
moving down. You're moving up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
all right.
Sarah was doing my laundry like 7 years ago.
Okay.
Well, I think we hitched our star to you, Tig, at just the right time. We're going to be saying goodbye to Sarah and stick with you now, I think, now that we see the direction your careers are going. So, all right. Well, listen, we're out of time. Tig
no,
and
no,
Friends
no,
is
not.
What? We are. We really are. It's 1 week from tonight at Largo on La Cienega in Los Angeles.
No, it's not tonight.
No, 1 week from tonight,
will
I said.
You two
one
stop
week
talking
from tonight.
So he can plug it?
Zip.
Please call this number, 310-855-0350, or do any kind of a Google search for any of the words in the preceding sentence, and you can buy tickets to see the show. Guys, thanks for coming in. We enjoyed having
thanks
you.
Thanks for having us.
A week from Saturday is the Weenie Roast. We're talking about Stone Temple Pilots back on stage at a show that we put on first time in a long time. You know, they just got back together at South by Southwest in March in Austin, their first reunion show. Now they got the reunion album just called Stone Temple Pilots. It is in stores today. We got some highlights if you want to hear what the new STP sounds like. Plus, what's this interview we're going to hear, Kevin? I'm excited about this.
Stryker, who works in the afternoon, mm-hmm. Had a chance to sit down with all of the guys and ask them about the new album.
Let's talk about Take a Load Off. I love the harmonies in this song, but you want to say something about Take a Load Off?
I've kind of learned as I've gotten older that also listened and studied great poet lyricists that not every song has to be about what you're actually going through in your life. Not every song has to be self-obsessed, and it can mean anything, and it can mean nothing.
The album has kind of a country kind of flair to it. You know, riffs such as Hickory Dichotomy.
Yeah, for sure.
Huckleberry. And this is really a country riff, but where kind of Scott goes with things. You talk about a dichotomy here. First Kiss on Mars, the song has this kind of down-home country kind of feel, but that title takes it to this whole other plateau, you know?
Let's talk about this song, Cinnamon. You mentioned earlier songs don't have to be about anything personal, but it's... This is just my take. Is this directed at anyone in particular? It's a really beautiful song. I really like Cinnamon.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was thinking probably about my ex-wife. And it's just it gave me a feeling of a combination between, like, 60s British pop and Ian Curtis.
Now we're going to talk about the song Huckleberry Crumble. Dean.
Well, I sure like playing it. I wish I could take the credit for writing the music of it, but that's...
Yeah!
Robert wrote that one musically, and of course, Scott then jumps in and puts his beauty to it. Robert walked over to my guitar rack in the studio, and he grabbed this Les Paul that kind of has the very most output and plugged it into a 100-watt Marshall head and turned everything up real loud. He goes, check this out, and played that riff, and it was just like, yeah, I like that. We demoed that song. We had it out, and Scott came over to the studio, and I remember you just like right in from the very first beat, and Scott, and you were just like this, you're just like this, looking for a pen and pad.
Yeah.
You're like, and just sat down, and you're just like, and then like was right in it. I think you had the melody within minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I gotta say, when it comes time for all of us to get together and make a record, I purposely try to pick songs that are gonna be songs that are really gonna light a fire under everybody's ass. As far as like, check this out, because I remember number four, it was Down. Mm-hmm. Like, check this out.
Yeah.
And like, right off the top, when you introduce a song like that, I think it's like, now the ball's rolling, everybody's up on their toes. And when a song is written, I know when I personally write a song, it's such an honor and a pleasure to give that song to these guys, because I know that song is going to be interpreted the best way possible. I think that's what has really been the body of our records, has been that contribution of all of us as four people.
So they got the new album out. It is out today.
How happy do they sound to be together again, by the way?
Very.
Yeah.
Really sound like they're enjoying themselves. That's exciting.
And here are some of the songs that they were talking about. The first one is Take a Load Off. Kind of give you a little taste of the CD. This is the song that he said was about his ex-wife, Cinnamon. How different is that than most songs about ex-wives?
Yeah, no kidding. I don't hear country in that, by the way. They were talking about all the country influences.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not hearing that so far, anyway.
This is Hickory Dichotomy. That's very them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep, that's STP, all right.
Super STP. And then finally, Huckleberry Crumble. Lady Jamba walk a seat members. The rabbit dog a whole shit to the China. So where do we go? And where was the rabbits? I'm feeling like a fool in the way. Yeah. I'm feeling like a fool. Well, there you go.
The album is called Stone Temple Pilots, available for download and in stores today. And if you want to see the band live a week from Saturday with us, we'll give you a chance to win those tickets coming up in about 20 minutes from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. How they shine for you
and all the things that you do. 106.7 is KROQ.
Yeah!
And it is 8:56.
All right! You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm a little sad because I'm remembering back to 24 hours ago from right now when we had Katy Perry in the room with us. Remember how much better things were then?
Oh, do I ever.
That was better.
That good old days. She smelled so pretty. All right, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, and then your chance to win tickets for Weenie Roast coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
You got a hell of a nose if you can smell her from Washington State.
I'm just saying.
You can.
You could look at her and tell.
You could see how well she smelled.
Yeah, I could.
Speaking of Katy Perry, let's give away some tickets to her future husband's movie, shall we? We've got a special advanced screening of a little movie called Get Him to the Greek. No, it's not about anal sex, much to my chagrin.
Yeah.
It's about the Greek, which is, of course, a venue here in Southern California. He plays the rock star that he played in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. However, Jonah Hill does not reprise the same role. He plays a different guy who looks exactly like the other guy he played in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah. There is that.
If you'd like to see the special advanced screening, I've got five pairs of tickets to give away right now to the first five callers who get through at 1-800-520-1067. Call now, and you will get those tickets. It's magically delicious. So are Lucky Charms, by the way.
Yes, they are.
All right. It's one of my favorite times of the morning. Any chance we get to hassle the Hoff? Hit it, Steve.
It's time to hassle the Hoff.
Let's hassle the Hoff.
Hoff.
After a three-day bender.
Uh-oh.
The 57-year-old former Baywatch star has checked himself into a Los Angeles area hospital. According to Radar Online,
for severe alcohol poisoning.
Oh, man.
Now, let's give him a break, because this is only the fifth time in the past 5 years he's had to go to the hospital for alcohol poisoning. Hasselhoff had been drinking alcohol for 3 days straight before being hospitalized on Sunday, the source tells Radar Online. And once again, it was his 17-year-old daughter, Haley, who came to the rescue and took him to the hospital.
Oh, tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Promise?
No.
Yes?
I'll be fine.
Man.
The only thing that hasn't happened yet is that Brittany Murphy's mom hasn't found him in the master bedroom yet. That's the only chapter that needs to still be written.
The good news for Haley is that her mom, Pamela, recently spent time in jail for a DUI, which was her second.
Wow.
I guess that's why Pam couldn't drive him to the hospital, because she's probably on restriction.
Wow.
That's a rough...
Wow with the Hasselhoffs.
This actually isn't funny anymore.
No, that's rough.
No, it's just tragic. Tragic. And, although, I heard Dave hasn't had a drink since high school.
That's what I've heard as well.
So it all works out. Sad news for you two fans. Worse than we thought, people. Bono's back injury has forced the legendary Irish band to postpone the entire North American leg of its world tour. So they're going to put that on hold. Bono said, "I'm heartbroken. We really wanted to do something very special regarding the performances." And he said, "We even wrote a special song for the Glastonbury Festival he was supposed to headline at." But he said, "We're working very hard with Live Nation to reinstate the shows and reschedule them for next year." Bono reiterated he feels the missed show is a terrible thing. He feels awful about it, but his back's just not up to it.
How did he hurt it? Did we know?
It happened during rehearsals for the show. I'm not sure exactly. It caused, however, temporary paralysis in Bono.
Mm, wow.
He was preparing for the tour. He was already in severe pain. And then he said he torqued or lifted something, but he had partial paralysis of the left leg. The ligament surrounding the disc had an 8-millimeter tear in it.
Oh, man.
And during surgery, his doctors discovered fragments of the disc had traveled into the spine canal.
Oh, man.
You know, I took a cruise down the spine canal one summer on the holiday. It's just delightful. Yeah. So he had to have surgery, and they are hoping that he will have complete recovery of his motor deficit that was a cause from the accident. So we're going to have to wait until he's completely healed before he can get back on stage, which is completely understandable. So
that's rough.
It is rough. Also, what's rough is what's going on with Jesse James and Sandra Bullock still. That relationship torn asunder. Still raw for both parties, I can imagine. Sandra Bullock has recently just pretty much secluded herself with her newly adopted son. And Jesse James is going on Nightline this evening on ABC just before our buddy Jimmy Kimmel's show to talk about what happened, why he did it. The allegations that he is a racist, they say really the reason he's doing the interview is to address these charges of racism. Recently, there were photos of him dressed as a Nazi, holding up his fingers like a Hitler mustache and giving the Sieg Heil salute. So he
doesn't mean he doesn't love all people equally, though, Ralph.
That's true. He wants to address that, but naturally, of course, the questions are going to be revolving his relationship with Sandra Bullock and how he is hated by a lot of people because of the pain that he caused her. Here's a little snippet from what you will see tonight on Nightline addressing the most hated man in America comment.
The headlines say most hated man in America.
I think it's most hated man in the world now. I took a pretty amazing life and amazing success and marriage and everything and kind of, you know, threw it away by my own hands.
Good times.
You know, it's refreshing to hear someone say that way.
Yeah.
He hasn't really been shuffling off any of the blame, that's for sure.
So many people try to spin it a different way and make it sound not so bad and all that.
Well, I don't know. He did lie a little bit, because earlier when the news first broke, remember he said, "I haven't cheated on anybody since high school"? Remember when he said that? No, that was Hasselhoff.
That was Hasselhoff. Yeah, no. I actually have that clip if you want.
Tell me you're going to stop.
Not the clip.
No, it isn't.
We had a big argument. Go ahead. Yes.
You two should just move in together and make it official.
He said, play that. That's the clip.
You two should move in together.
He said, play it. It's the clip.
You should just take your little Odd Couple show on the road, because everyone would love to see it.
I said that.
You got the clip now?
Nope.
All right. Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday.
Maybe.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff, and I don't drink or take drugs.
There it is.
There we go. There we do have it, okay.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Sir Ian McKellen, legendary British actor, of course, Gandalf in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. He was Magneto in the X-Men movies, a brilliant actor.
He's great.
71 years old today, director, writer, actor, Muppeteer. Frank Oz is 66. Comedian actor Mike Myers, voice of Shrek in the popular Shrek films, is 47. Anne Heche turns 41. Jamie Kennedy is 40. Anne Heche, really, with the bell? Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's questionable.
Yeah.
I think she's real pretty.
That's up for debate.
Real pretty.
I do.
That's not up for debate. Just pretty is up for debate. Not real.
Let's put her up against actress model Molly Sims, who also celebrates her birthday today, and see how real pretty stands up.
Right.
She is 37 years old. Singer Lauryn Hill is 35. I think she's pretty.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Ethan Suplee from My Name is Earl is 34 and prettier than Anne Heche.
That's true.
And Cillian Murphy, who's also a very pretty young man. He is 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. The Weenie Roast is right around the corner. Sublime with Rome, STP, Hole, Silver Sun Pickups, Devo, Paramore, Deftone, Spoon, Chevelle, Cage the Elephant, The Dirty Heads, Against Me, Temper Trap, Passion Pit, all completely sold out. That list will help you because right now it's time to give you some tickets as we play the hardest game in the world.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Morning, Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
So you and Mrs. Announcer Man will be joining us on June 5th at Verizon?
Yeah, we'll be in the hizzy, yo.
Is Mrs. Announcer Man hot?
Oh, is she ever.
All right.
They are hot.
We have a group of listeners on the phone that are ready to try to play the hardest game in the world. Describe for folks maybe who haven't heard it before how this game goes.
We'll be reading for you a list of bands that will be performing at the Weenie Roast. All you need to do is to identify those bands' names. Oh, wait a minute. I almost forgot. They'll be backwards.
May not sound hard.
It's the hardest game in the world.
Let's begin with Darren. Hi, Darren.
Yes.
Darren works at the Sizzler. He's
Mr.
ready.
Mr. Announcer Man, who's our first contestant?
First up is Darren. He works at the place I always go to when I need new soles for my shoes. It's the Sizzler.
All right. Are you ready for your band?
Yeah.
All right, here you go.
Wah-beed.
One more time.
Wah-beed.
Wah-beed.
Right. We've heard it backwards. We need you to give it to us forward.
Reverse that.
Yeah, you got to give us.
Can I play it one more time?
Nope, twice is it.
Wah-beed.
How about a guess?
Wah-beed, you said?
Yes!
Wah-beed.
Quit saying Yabib until it. No, it's not a guess.
How about Devo?
See,
that's backwards.
Right.
We say it backwards. Wabi. You guess what it is forward.
We've got backwards covered.
Okay. Wabi. Mr. Nelson Man, who's next?
Next up is Jorge. He's a tired guy. He needs a nap.
Hey, Jorge.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, wait. He's a tire guy. I'm sorry.
Oh, tire guy.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready for your band name backwards?
Sure am.
Here you go. You get to hear it twice. One more time.
Amor with you. Amialbus.
Silver Sun Pickups?
Oh, Christ.
Nice guess.
Sublime
guess.
With Rome.
Yeah. Nice try. All right. Sorry. Next, Mr. Announcer.
This is not easy.
It's the hardest game in the world. Next up is Sean. He make cardboard boxes.
That's not a job. Sean, who's laughing there, Mr. Announcer Man?
Soma.
Sean, who makes cardboard boxes for a living?
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. You ready for your band?
That I am.
Here you go.
Romara.
One more time.
Romara.
Romarek.
We know what it sounds like. We just heard it. You need to figure out what it is in the opposite way.
We've done this game before, right?
We know.
Haven't many, many times.
Right. Fairly, it's new to the listeners, right. Though.
Sean, give us the name forwards.
Can you repeat it one more time?
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Twice. Everybody gets it twice, as explained previously. How about a guess?
Paramore.
Yeah!
Well,
how little do we want?
Paramore.
How little do we want to give this guy tickets?
No kidding. All right, hold on. Sean, you are in the drawing. Let's see who our next contestant is and whether he or she can also be in the drawing.
Next up is Christina. We're hoping she's not nearly as stupid.
Oh, how dare you. He got it. He did all right.
Drummer up.
Christina.
Hello, how are you?
We are good. Are you ready for your band?
I'm ready as I'm going to be.
Here you go.
Still out for Mastin Watch.
One more time.
Still out for Mastin Watch.
Oh, my gosh. Is it Chevelle?
Well, for a number of reasons, no.
Didn't it sound like it was more words than one?
I couldn't even understand it.
Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah, it's not only is it not Chevelle, it's actually a band that's playing the Weenie Rose. So, no. Nice try. All right, one more is all we have time for, Mr. Announcer Man.
No, we can't. We have to have more than just Sean.
Next up is Adam. Right. He's in visual effects. Ooh, look at me. I'm in 3D.
Hey, Adam.
Hello.
Are you ready for your band?
I am.
Good luck.
Snort fed.
One more time.
Snort fed.
Is it snow fed?
Dirty head? Ah!
Oh. Death tone. Okay. Let's do a drawing.
We don't have a drawing.
Sean, or is it going to be Sean?
There's no drawing.
The winner is Sean.
Sean. Against our better judgment, Sean.
Sean.
Yeah. I'm super excited.
Yeah, we can tell.
This is the guy that makes cardboard boxes. He's going to be joining us.
He is underqualified.
Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Hey, Ralph Garman, with one more look at the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
I don't want to say that I run Hollywood.
You do want to say that. You say it often.
It's not true, though.
But I do carry more clout, I think, than almost anyone else in the...
We get that you got in the Sharktopus movie, all right? You have to move on from that.
In the entertainment, especially entertainment journalism world.
Right.
You can forget, Lara Spencer over there on The Insider.
Right.
You can forget...
I already have. We've never...
Forget your Billy Bushes of
don't
the
watch,
world.
Don't
whatever
watch
with Mary
time.
Hart.
Don't watch her.
Yesterday, I brought you Katy Perry, an exclusive... one-on-one sit-down interview.
That was a surprise.
And we gave you props.
That was a surprise.
We appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm just saying, today, why don't we talk to The Edge from U2 about the cancellation of the North American leg of their tour due to Bono's back injury. Why don't we talk to him in a couple minutes that I set up for you. How about me now?
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
So yesterday was Katy Perry and today's The Edge?
Yes. All right. We'll be calling you in a couple minutes to talk about the cancellation of the tour and how badly the band feels and how they're trying to reschedule it.
Wow.
All right. That's what I bring you. That's what I bring to the table.
Did you just text The Edge or how does that work? How do you get a hold of a guy like that?
I have my people call his people and I set it up. That's what I bring for the show. That's how I deliver.
Wow.
I'm not all, look, here's a mattress in the number 3 lane. F you. No, I bring real value. I bring
lies.
Content. Oh, look out for those sig alerts.
Well, if you deliver on this this lofty promise and The Edge shows up on the phone in the next few minutes, I'll be very impressed. So let's just see what happens before
Meanwhile,
you get all excited about
let's
it.
Let's talk about a few other showbiz stories, shall we? The Dodgers.
What?
Showbiz?
What? In showbiz are suing John Lovitz for $95,400.
Why?
That's a strange lawsuit.
He is being sued for non-payment of his season tickets.
Really?
Yep. He agreed to purchase 3 dugout club seats for the 2008, 9, and 10 seasons, and he has reneged on his payment.
Don't they take a credit card or something?
Yeah, don't they get payment up front?
Yeah, I'll pay you next week. That's a ticket.
What's up with that?
I'll pay you for the tickets in the 2011 season. Yeah, that's it.
That's weird.
Now, did they add anything onto that, or are they just trying? I mean, it can't be $30,000 a year to get those seats, can it?
I don't know anything about...
Three seasons, $90,000? Wow.
I don't know anything about what the value of the dugout club seats are, but...
Those are the most expensive ones.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Does that sound about right, Mike?
Yeah, for sure. The dugout level seats?
Those are like $225, Dave tells me, a seat. Per game.
A game.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So 3 tickets, it's roughly $10,000 per seat per season.
That's a lot.
Because they do play 497 home games.
That's correct.
Because it's baseball.
Or 81, but yeah, it's a lot. So
I want a ticket for the Kings. Yeah, that's what I meant to get. Because he lies a lot.
Who gets them up front that doesn't have to pay? That's really...
Who am I?
I'm saying.
Bud Selig? What do I have? Information for you?
You just were telling us how you had all the power in Hollywood.
I know, but this is baseball. I don't have any power in baseball.
All right.
When it comes to the battle of the series finales, lost wins. The Jack Bauer went out last night, of course, on
this Fox drama 24, and he went out with a whimper rather than a bang. Only about 8 million viewers watched Jack say goodbye.
But they were happy viewers.
They were, although they didn't hear as well afterwards. Don't pull that trigger, Chloe! Pull that trigger! meanwhile, Lost had over 13 million viewers watching its farewell. So,
did you see the list that was going around yesterday, Ralph, of where Lost ranked in all-time series finales? I thought it was a fascinating
list. No.
It was 55th on the list of all-time series finales. Right around the like between King of Queens and Mr. Belvedere.
that was a very special King of Queens when they said goodbye.
Really?
No.
No, I'm not talking. I'm saying the bean. Really?
Well, yeah, 55th on the list.
Here's the thing. I'm sure there are shows on that list that aired when the world had three television networks.
Well, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So how can you compete with 600 channels on your DirecTV when, you know, there's a lot of other stuff people want to watch?
That's true.
I don't think any shows will ever come close to what some of those bigger
shows have. No, certainly not. And 13 million, very respectable.
Absolutely.
Yeah, not putting anything down on it.
Yeah.
How many of them understood it? Do we have those numbers?
That is significantly smaller. Ah. Lindsay Lohan got slapped yesterday by a Superior Court judge here in the Los Angeles area. Marcia Ravel is her name. She came back from her vacation to talk to Lindsay specifically about her behavior. Of course, she did miss a court appearance because she was at the Cannes Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got back yesterday, the judge said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to wear a SCRAM ankle bracelet. Now, SCRAM stands for Secure Continuous Remote Alcohol Monitor. It judges the level of alcohol someone consumes by measuring it on his or her skin.
Okay.
To keep you sober, because it will monitor if you drink anything. You will
one show beer, up. It'll show up.
Anything you drink, 1% of that alcohol goes through your pores and is read by this device.
Okay.
She's also been sentenced to mandatory drug and alcohol testing every week. And has yet another alcohol education program that she needs to complete. So we'll see what happens. On July 6th, she goes back into court to face the charges that she may have violated her probation because she missed last week's court appearance by being in Cannes and doing blow in hotel rooms.
That's real talk right there, man.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Joe Jonas has struck again.
Ooh.
This is the guy who famously dumped Taylor Swift over the phone. You remember that?
Oh, sure.
When Taylor Swift told that story. She said it was about a 27-second phone conversation. Well, it looks like he did the same thing to Demi Lovato. Us Weekly Magazine's got the story. He called up to me and said, you know what? Let's just be the best of friends.
Why does anyone go for him?
I don't know. They're not getting any.
No.
He's wearing that stupid ring. He's got one on his hand, too. And they are they were dating up until about 3 months ago, and probably that's when it's over. The good news is, though, they are set to hit the road together and tour this summer in the same show. So that should be really
Demi Lovato
friendly
and the
backstage.
Jonas Brothers?
Yeah,
really?
That should be
and you know when they set that tour up, they're like, oh, it's going to be so much fun. We'll get to go out all summer long and hang out.
And we love you, and I love you, and you love me, and we'll love each other forever. Yeah, not so much. And Tila Tequila has said that she's finally going to admit that she is taking prescription pills every day of her life, and it's no way to live. And she's going to join the cast of Celebrity Rehab.
Woo-hoo! Wow.
Which is why she made up the addiction to pills
absolutely
in the first place.
Absolutely.
She may have actually gotten addicted to pills to be on that show.
Let's see. How can I be on? MTV won't give me my bisexual dating show anymore. Oh, I know. I'll develop a drug problem. Then Dr. Drew will take me in. He's a sucker. He'll buy anything.
That'll be two shows.
Yeah, because you get
do sober house.
She can
too,
do sober
right
house
on the back end.
Yeah,
so.
And then she'll relapse. That could be forever.
Yeah,
really. She could start her own network,
the Rehab Channel.
Yeah. And sad news. Apparently, Lady Gaga will be featured tonight on Glee. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
Why? Why is that sad? That sounds like a perfect match for that show. They love that kind of music.
Yeah.
She's not going to be on. It's her music, right?
Yeah.
They've done a nice job with their
Madonna
like tribute.
Iconic. That was like a big thing. This is now they're just starting to do stuff, I think, over there.
Really? They're just starting to do stuff, are they?
Do stuff. Fox has announced, though, Glee has been renewed for a third season. Show is still in its first season, mind you, so there's at least two more years guaranteed of Glee.
Wow.
Check that out. So I'll watch the show tonight. I'll let you know how it is.
All right.
You were so serious or not serious about the Edge from U2 joining us?
I was serious.
Okay.
I was as serious as Bono's back injury.
And you said 9:45.
Around 9:45. All right. Well, you'd have to remember, we're 3 minutes ahead of Ireland.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a 3 minute time difference.
Yeah, that's right.
I forgot about
that. He probably doesn't know it's that time yet.
forgot about the 3 minutes.
Probably. Keep dancing, Ralph.
These are the jokes, folks. I don't dance. Congratulations to Monica Bellucci, very beautiful and talented Italian actress. She gave birth to her second daughter, Leonie, last Friday in Rome. She and her actor husband, Vincent Cassell, have a 5.5-year-old daughter already named Diva. And the next film that she's going to be in, by the way, is The Sorcerer's Apprentice with your pal Nick Cage you were just talking to. They star in it together. I don't know if you've seen the trailer or not, but this is quintessential Nick Cage.
Uh-oh. Is that good or bad?
Crazy! Hey, you want to see the Kendra Wilkinson sex tape?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Well, Vivid hears you.
Okay.
They're releasing it a week early. Apparently tomorrow you'll be able to purchase that.
All right.
That would be a good thing, right?
Absolutely.
This features an 18-year-old Kendra and her then-boyfriend in various states of sexual athletics.
Oh, I hope they cut the laughing out.
She doesn't laugh like that during sex,
does
she?
That would make my penis just retreat inside my body.
That's a mood
now,
killer.
You've been saying that you've been looking forward to this more than most celebrity sex tapes.
Because she's hotter than most celebrities.
She's a Playboy playmate, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. She was Hefner's ex. She's a Playboy playmate. She's hotter than most celebrities in sex tapes. And she's 18.
Yeah.
She's like just really just there. She's there at 18, right at that point in
her life.
That's
happening.
And by all accounts, she's a goer. She's good to go. She likes all kinds of things. Her boyfriend's in the video, and apparently a young lady joins her in the video as well.
Right. Okay, all right.
So she's got that going for her.
Okay. What have the pre-orders been like on this one? Huge?
Through the roof.
Yeah. Vivid says it's one of the most ordered DVDs they have ever manufactured.
Wow.
We're talking to somebody, I think, from Vivid tomorrow, aren't we?
Sure,
about,
Ralph.
About their new...
Sure.
About their new superhero line.
Yes, we are.
So I'm sure Axel Braun, the director of the new parody Batman XXX, will have something to say about Kendra as well. Maybe he can even send over a couple copies. I'm not saying he should.
Because it's about Batman. And
but he should. Well, and, you know, include the Kendra in the box, too, if they're going to send it out tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
ABC has announced they're going to welcome back the Miss America pageant. You know, Miss America has been on television for many, many years, but they're going to bring it back when it airs next January 15th.
Do we want to talk about that, or do we want to talk to The Edge?
I think we'd rather talk to The Edge, wouldn't we?
I think so as well. Hey, The Edge.
Hello, Kevin. Hi, Bean. How are you?
We are good. How are you?
Well, we're great, but how's your boy, man? That's bad news coming out of Germany, we hear.
Yes, it's not great news, I have to be honest. But the good news is that he's going to be fine. He just has to rest up and do what the doctors tell him, and he'll be fine. But we're kind of breathing a sigh of relief that he figured out he was in trouble and caught it and did seek the advice of some very good doctors.
What happened exactly? How did he hurt it?
Well, that's the thing. I don't really exactly, and I'm not sure he knows himself. He was, as we all are, kind of in sort of pre-tour preparation mode, trying to get physically up to speed, and whatever he was up to, whatever workout regime or whatever he did, suddenly he realized he hurt his back, and thought probably it was fairly minor, but then after a few days it was getting worse, so he decided to get advice, and that's when they discovered that it was pretty serious.
Yeah, when you hear emergency back surgery on Bono, you think, wow, I haven't heard of emergency back surgery much.
No.
That's usually something down the road that you decide slowly about. Not many emergencies that way.
Well, yeah, I suppose the two things were clearly with the tour coming up, he felt he had to deal with it quickly, but he was in so much pain and he knew that it was something major. But when the doctors did the scans, they realized that he'd done himself some serious damage that needed to be fixed immediately. And
right.
I think the fact that they acted so quickly indicates that they thought it was pretty much
right.
That there was no choice. They had to just go in and operate.
In more than 30 years that you guys have played together as a band, how infrequent is it for you to miss or cancel shows, Edge?
You know, there's been almost no precedent for this in our entire history. I mean, we are the band that shows up no matter what happens. I mean, when Red Rocks was filmed in Colorado, we actually performed in the middle of a storm, and our promoter was going crazy saying we had to cancel the show. And we realized that even though not everyone had showed up, there was like 1,000 people or so at this venue. We just said we have to go on. So we're not, you know, we
famously play Hail Rain or whatever, Weathers, and so this is a new thing for us. It doesn't rest easy with us, I can tell you. When I spoke to Bono on Sunday, his primary concern was the tour and the disappointment of the fans, and you know, he was going on about that, and we clearly our concern with him, knowing that he was going to be fine, was a huge relief. And now the next thing, we just have to get him well. That's really the focus.
Imagine, guys, how tough it must be to get Bono off the phone the way that guy talks. I mean, seriously. Just, all right, I get it already.
Yes, probably the most rest he'll have had in decades.
Yeah, that's for sure.
True.
Listen, the shows affected for North America include June 3rd in Salt Lake City all the way through July 19th in Meadowlands. And our understanding from the early reports, Edge, and tell me if this is true, is just hang on to your tickets if you've got them, and they're going to be honored at the new dates when they get rescheduled.
Yeah, we're determined. You know, the tour is going to go on. We're pretty, I'd say 95% confident that Bono will be back in time for our European leg, and we will come back. So hold on to your tickets. We will be back as soon as we can to play these concerts. They're just postponed. They're not cancelled, and we're looking forward to, you know, the shows. That's the real disappointment for us, is that we were so looking forward to playing.
Well, Edge, instead of the 360 tour, maybe you should take it easy and just make it like a 180 tour. Just ease off.
Well, there's plenty of time for easing off. I don't think we're there yet.
You're thinking, I see according to the report, you're thinking early August, best guess?
Yeah, I think it'll be there. I mean, the doctors are saying minimum 8 weeks. Now, I know Bono, we're going to have to chain him down to stop him from getting back out there, but we will endeavor to make sure that he doesn't go back too soon, which would be the danger. So, yeah, I'd say mid-August we'll be back.
Let me ask you one more question, The Edge, and it's awesome that you called in to share this information with YouTube fans. We really appreciate it. One of the reports I read said that you guys had actually written and were preparing to play a new song at Glastonbury, if you were able to do that show, which has also been canceled. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, you know, we're in a mode now. We had quite a bit of time off between the last show on this tour, so we went and wrote a lot of songs, and one of the songs was a tune inspired by the festival of Glastonbury, and we thought, well, let's play it for the first time at the festival. So people will have to wait a little while longer to hear the tune, but we've got a lot of great new songs, and we're very excited about our next project. And this, you know, right now, our only question is, you know, what's the quickest way we can get this stuff out? You know, we feel like it's so about this moment. We almost don't want to wait till we put a CD together, but we'll see.
Okay. I know most of the songs. I mean, I could sing.
You could step in for Bono.
I'm just saying, I know most of them.
That's nice.
I don't know the new ones yet, but I could learn them.
Yeah. You know, there is a slight problem. You're too tall.
Oh, right. Yeah. I don't think U2's really shopping around for a new singer. I think it's better to wait 2 months to get Bono back. All right. Well, that is the update straight from the guitarist's mouth. And, of course, continue to get all the details at U2.com. Edge, great to catch up with you, man. Please give our best to Bono. You know, we've been lucky enough to have him on the show a few times over the years. We think the world of the guy. And it's great to talk to you, man. Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye now.
Bye.
How about that?
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice pull, Ralph.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Someone does run Hollywood after all.
You're welcome.
All right.
You know, the new Glastonbury song, being while we're talking about it, I just want to get it in this little detail I got in the story this morning. The new Glastonbury song is entitled, Ow, 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 My Back. Ow,
I don't think that's...
Ow, oh, I can't bend over. Ow.
It's kind of a long title, but I think it's going to be worth waiting for.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Jay Moore on the program. We have highlights of Jesse James' interview tonight on the program.
Yeah.
We have Ryan Sheckler. We have Omar's Glee Cap.
Oh, the Glee Cap.
Which is my favorite
event of the week.
And we'll talk about the new Vivid comic porn series.
Yes.
Tomorrow morning, along with tickets to the Weenie Roast.
The Mighty Whore instead of Thor. I can't wait to see
tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Cat Corbett's next. 40 minutes nonstop. K-Rock next.